B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Oh, it starts all right. Jackie Kate Show on a Monday, a victory Monday. 6 a.m. hour brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. A victory formation Monday after a spectacular debut, a fantastic debut for your 2021 Philadelphia Eagles. I never expect this team to have a perfect day on any of the 17 Sundays, and they certainly didn't yesterday, and I wouldn't demand it in week one. But that was pretty, pretty fun and dominant. You hold Matt Ryan and the Falcons to 6 points and 164 yards passing? Matt Ryan hasn't had that low a passing performance, I believe, since his rookie year. And it's his worst performance in 8 years on his home field. It's absurd what the Eagles did yesterday. The balance of the offensive attack, absolutely incredible. It was awesome. My best friend, Miles Sanders, damn, he looked good. Devontae Smith, don't even get me started. If you didn't all know already, check my Twitter profile. My favorite word has and always will be joyous. Well, for the first game under Nick Sirianni, there is a hell of a lot to be joyous about. And yes, there are things that need to be fixed. And yes, you want to polish some things up. But when you win by 26 points, the things you have to fix don't seem as important. Remember, it was the Falcons. That's a big part of this thing. But for what the Eagles were asked to do, go on the road, opener, get it done, they got it done. They got it done in spades. And that's where we begin this 6 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan back from vacation, the coach Eric Camille. We've got Connor taking your phone calls at 610-632-0975. He's going to be like a guard dog, though. If you really want to bring something to the table, we want to hear from you. It's going to be good. And, of course, we've got Mike directing on YouTube and Twitch.tv. What a fantastic debut, Bob. It's
couldn't have been any better.
It was awesome. Well, could have been.
Well, I'll tell you what. For the expectations that you have with a young quarterback, a young team, obviously first-time coach, first-time defensive coordinator, yeah, I know the 14 penalties, and I know
franchise record.
Yeah, I know some of the other things, but honest to God, as a confidence level goes, which I talked about last week and all of those things, it couldn't have been any better. Look, some things aren't going to be there because it's the first week of the season, and then obviously some weren't. But I kid you not, I couldn't have come out of there with a better scenario. If I'm a someone who works for the team, if I'm a coach, if I'm a player, stuff that you have to work on, yeah. But you could not have written that up any better.
It was exciting. It was everybody got to play a part in it. And Jamie, that's one of the big things is that we've got stuff to talk about up and down the roster, offensively, defensively, coaching. That was a team win.
Absolutely.
In every way, shape, and form.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a lot to like from the coaching staff. Obviously, the quarterback tickled all of our fancy there. The line looked dominant. 7 different receivers in the game. You had Javon Hargrave looked like the guy they paid him to be last year right off the bat. I thought Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett played solid football. BG, you know, the linebacking core was probably the one, you know, iffiness, but that was to be expected. And then the secondary played pretty well, considering they lost one of their starting safeties in-game on the first series. So there wasn't really much to dislike about yesterday at all.
What did Epps do? It was on the hit.
Concussion, yeah.
Concussion,
yeah.
On the hit, delivering it, and hopefully he will be able to get himself out of concussion protocol by next week.
There was also one more thing that was really good yesterday that we didn't mention yet.
What was that?
The opponent.
Oh, boy.
They suck. And that's fine. That's all good. I mean, that can play into it. It builds your confidence and all that. Let's not get overconfident, but it does help to build your confidence. That is another NFL team. That is probably a Hall of Fame quarterback that was held to the numbers that you said, John. But That was a key factor in that.
Oh, they stink.
Atlanta Falcons are horrible.
I thought it was going to be the easiest, and I was taking heat for this, and they were playing it on my old radio station the other afternoon, that I said it was going to be the easiest opponent that the Falcons played, that the Eagles played on the road all year would be the Falcons.
No, I don't think that's even in question.
And now it is. I mean, they play the Jets on the road. And so that was what they were
Zach
really-
Wilson is probably harder to defend at this point than Matt Ryan.
I'm telling you right now, that was fantastic. Pat, back from a little bit of a respite, which is nice. And Pat, confident. Now, where do you put the victories? Nothing to complain about.
Yeah, there's not. There's nothing to complain about. You guys laid it all out there. I don't know. The first drive was rough, I guess, but they adjust. There's nothing to complain about.
He's giddy. Listen,
I'm not giddy, but there's nothing
Pat's
to complain
giddy.
About.
Jonathan Gannon.
You're right.
Like that first drive, Atlanta went down the field, and you thought, okay, they're gashing them. And then Jonathan Gannon figured it out within about seven plays, and that was it.
And then the second drive, they were gashing them again. Atlanta had 4 minutes into the second quarter. Let me just make sure I got this right here. So it was into the second quarter, the first 20 minutes of the game, so 5 minutes in, the Falcons had 100 yards rushing. And it was 5 minutes into the second quarter. And then Jonathan Gannon said, no, 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 and absolutely took that away. They were getting crushed on the ground, and I couldn't understand it. I'm like, how are the Falcons running the football on you like this? And then Gannon was like, okay, we gave him that. And he let them operate within the 20s and then just clamped down, absolutely clamped down.
And they went to a three-man defensive front inside the 10-yard line, which is
odd.
Cool that you can throw different looks at a defense. When you have that versatility they talked about, like a Hargrave and a Cox. I think Derek Barnett was kind of playing like that Joker linebacker position. It was kind of cool. And to throw different looks at an offense in that situation, I think shows that you have a lot of confidence in your defense, but two, probably gets the offense's head scrambled a little bit. Like, what the? All right.
Bob, I said it yesterday on social media during the game that there were formations offensively and defensively I've never seen before. Now, I'm not a football X's and O's aficionado
sure.
who can go up to the whiteboard and show you everything. But I saw stuff, especially offensively, and then defensively, Gannon was doing it too. There was different stuff we've never seen before.
Yeah, and I loved some of the designs. I mean, you can call plays and we can say, oh, he caught a good play at that spot. And we've seen so many of the same plays year after year after year with this Eagles team. Yesterday, the design was unbelievably cool. On the screenplay to Rager, great, great play there.
I was fooled completely.
I thought it was going to be a sack. I thought it was a messed up play. Had it all the way. Maiolata comes out. I swear to God, he almost killed somebody. The designs of a lot of the plays were just really, really nice. And one of the broadcasters I did hear yesterday said, they're playing to the strength of their quarterback. And I was thinking, are they, or is the quarterback just playing to his strengths? Because a lot of the things he did, escaping sacks, just little footwork stuff, throwing across his body, which might be ill-advised at some points, but weren't with him because of his arm strength. There's hardly a fault to find in this game yesterday.
I got a couple. Somebody get to Quez and every single kick returner for the Eagles. Stop going backwards. Trying to make something happen. Five times yesterday in the first three quarters. Kick returner or punt returner running backwards. And Quez somehow thinks running back towards your own end zone is the smart thing to do. You got to fix that up. But Quez looked great on that first drive.
He did.
I mean, it was awesome.
They had two times. One with Watkins early where they went to him three straight times. And then there was another series where they went to Devontae Smith four straight times. So it's kind of like they locked in. They saw something. And they locked in on it and exploited it. And that's all we ever ask for.
Show us you can stop it.
Yeah, the first two plays was the reciprocal play, just reversed. One to the left side, one to the right side. And it was his first two play calls as an Eagle. And I went, oh, I like that a lot. And my wife was sitting there watching with me. And she said, why do you like that? And I said, because it was the same exact play, just to the opposite side of the field. She's like, well, why is that good? And I was like, because I don't think the defense thought in a million years that was going to happen. it was almost like the, hey, here it is, stop us.
I really enjoyed, Pat, that it was Quez in that first series, and you're like, man, there really isn't Quez. And then Quez was completely quiet the rest of the game. Then it was Devontae's turn. And, you know, and then Rager gets involved. And Miles Sanders gets heavily involved after the second drive. It was, everybody got a starring role.
Yeah, they mixed in everyone really well, which is something that
we're not used to.
Not at all. Like, Jamie just laid out the play last year. It's like if they would have a good play and you're like, wow, I really like that. You want to see it again. Like, they want to go back to it. It was so frustrating. And it just seemed like they used... You're right. Like, Devontae Smith was quiet until he was in the end zone with the football.
Right.
And granted, like, it was the first drive, but they spaced them out very well and showed their weapons.
It is, if you are commuting this morning, you can take advantage of savings and flexibility with NJ Transit's Flex Pass that includes 20 one-way tickets at 20% discount. Get details at njtransit.com/flexpass. We will let you hear some of our jury deliberations in the course of the morning this morning. Our jury members had a phone number to call and to give some of their notices. Now, Coach, I understand some of our jurors didn't follow directions.
First of all, it was a big mistake to give them my office number.
Okay, why?
My goodness. Pre-game.
Pre-game?
Go Birds!
What are they... doing in pregame.
Well, what do you say, Mike and Del Ran?
Yeah, it was Mike and
Don't Del. Subtweet them.
Pregame. All right, let's give
I'm
Mike
making the nachos. Oh, jeez.
Come on. I don't,
we don't need all that.
Hot dog nachos?
Let's give Mike Coach's personal cell phone.
Yeah, so he can call. But that was, we will hear some of the deliberations. I understand some of the jurors didn't give their names.
Correct.
You have to give your name. We got to know who you are. Tell us who you are. We want to be able to identify. We want to get to know our jurors.
I bet they were Cooney's jurors.
You think Cooney's
crew?
No,
mine
crew?
Were spot on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were the nameless.
Leading the pack. Are you kidding me?
Think about this one for silly. You. Under Matt Ryan at home in his career, I'm going to rattle off points per game for Matt Ryan on average at home. Last year, 26, year before 21, year before 30, year before 23, year before 35, year before 23, year before 27. To hold them to six, the last time they were held to less than six was a 3-point performance in the finale of the 2014 season. Holding Matt Ryan to 164 yards passing and using him as a pinata yesterday, he deserved a hell of a lot better than he got yesterday, because that was an ass beating what the Eagles defensive line started to deliver. And it wasn't early. They figured something out.
Yeah.
And then just dominated that game.
Yeah. Brandon Graham, I thought was really good in the run game. Once, you know, those first two series happened, the middle, I mean, between Hargrave and Cox, Cox showed up statless on the game, which is weird, but his impact was felt all game long.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm getting tired of that.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, what do you want him to do?
Wait, he was
something.
The guards were in Matt Ryan's face all day.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah. I thought they collapsed the pocket all game long. I thought they dominated. I really did.
I think everybody benefited by Fletcher Cox being out there.
Yeah, but I want to see some stats too. I hear you. I'm not downplaying what he does. But like,
but that's kind of him
talk
now.
Talk about, that's him now. That's a good way of putting
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
He dominates games without showing up in stat sheets. I still think he's dominant.
I think he was.
I thought he played very well yesterday.
I think
he dominant says to me, you do all that and some.
He scared the crap out of that poor left guard, rookie that came in. Like, they showed the one play. He was twitching because it's like we got Fletcher Cox.
I want him to do more than scaring him. I want him to scare him and then beat him and then get a sack. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want more from Fletcher Cox.
No, I don't know what you're saying.
He's scared
an offensive lineman.
All right. Hey, Parks Sportsbook app has a great offer for you. New customers, sign up now. Get a free $50 sports bet. No deposit required. Just click parkscasino.com/PA. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, my first Sunday in the NFL this year, $22 up.
Nice.
$22 out.
I wish I had something I could say that I was up about. But
I got something you can be up about.
I think I went 0-3 yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. I walked into that Packers trap.
Oh, man. I liked the Giants.
Yeah.
That was one of my losses.
I think OB tweeted me that the underdogs were 11-4 yesterday against the spread. It was a doggy Sunday,
I
week
liked
one.
A lot, and that's why I sort of won, but I got screwed by Washington and I got screwed by the Giants. And Bob tried to say, I don't like the Giants against Denver. That was a mismatch.
They're a bad team.
They look bad.
They didn't look good. And just when they get a drive going, Daniel Jones does Daniel Jones with another fumble at like the 8-yard line.
Can I give you another thing to smile about? I know it's we're not going to ask you to play the song, Egan. 76 snaps out of 76 for Carson Wentz.
Love it.
100%. Carson, by the way, did you see he choked up the ball? On a quarterback sneak, he wasn't even hitting. He choked up the ball.
Yeah. He wasn't even touched.
I didn't see that play.
That was a fumble loss.
He wasn't even touched and he fumbled. He coughed up the
ball. Colts Twitter was going wild. I've never seen the offensive line look this bad. What's going on with the O-line? I was like, compare the two bodies of work. I don't think it's the O-line here, fellas.
Welcome to town. Keep the snaps coming. Keep them coming. Adam in Germantown is the first one to get through Connor's firewall this morning at 610-632-0975. Adam, welcome to the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine, Adam. How you feeling?
I guess terrific. I mean, what else can I say? I mean, I'm really proud of the Eagles finally upgrading their environment overall. Like, for the first time, like, it just feels like, you know, that they have a quarterback that everybody, like, has respect for in terms of leadership, and everyone's playing for each other, not for themselves. And you have a coach who's actually making jokes and not telling you time's yours and I gotta look at the film, you know, who was here for double digit years.
I'm a big Red fan, so I can't go with that one. I'm a big fan of Big Red.
Yeah.
But I love what one
Let's
game.
Let's go have a ham sandwich.
One game against a bad opponent doesn't make me go, wow, let's just get Nick Sirianni's bus for Canton set up. But I was so impressed how just, except for the veterans, how impressed I was with just the plan yesterday. The plan was flawless.
It was really good. And what really, I don't want to say convince me, but what really brought my hopes up on Nick Sirianni was the two-minute drill.
Mm-hmm.
It was calm.
Oh,
it
yes.
was poised. He made good play calls.
Yep. Clock management.
Clock management was good. I thought he could have called a timeout one time in there. I was screaming like, yo, dude, timeout. But he didn't. Ran it well. The play to Goddard, which wasn't a catch, I don't think.
I do.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough as hell.
I thought Ertz's was not.
No.
My buddy from the ABC affiliate in Atlanta was right on the field. He said, there's no way, because I texted him immediately. I said, I saw you on the field because I could see him down there. And he goes, nobody could overturn that.
No, you couldn't overturn
it. He goes, it absolutely looked like you could have thought that.
Yeah, I thought it. And it doesn't
said,
matter.
But he said, nobody could have ever overturned that.
That was a bullet.
That throw, that was
great.
To see a young kid make that throw so confidently that Jalen Hurts did. I'll tell you what.
He threw it to a spot.
If you would have put film yesterday out on this kid and said, who is this? There is no chance in hell I would have thought anyone making their fifth start. I don't care that the opponent was terrible yesterday. He was phenomenal. He looked like a poised veteran out there yesterday.
And absolutely. When did he look phenomenal, too, in the second half? Which was the big concern last year. You know, D coordinators got the book on him. They figured some stuff out. And the second half, he was atrocious. And he looked great yesterday in the second half.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because last year, he was the worst quarterback that had three or more starts in second halves.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Which is, you know, he's still a rookie in my book.
Exactly.
But damn.
All right. Do you want some good news? How about another piece of good news? It's FanFest week. FanFest comes up on Saturday at Xfinity Live. FanFest 2021, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, the official hotel partner and the after party of 97.5 The Fanatics FanFest 2021. If you didn't hear on Friday, Tyrese Maxey is going to be there with us too, brought to you by CSL Plasma. Charlie Manuel, courtesy of our friends at Landis Block. Brian Dawkins, courtesy of our FanFest presenting sponsor, FanDuel Sportsbook. It's going to be a fantastic day, including Bob says you might want to run on over to the Club Risque Dunk Tank. Not Drunk Tank. The Club Risque Dunk Tank.
The Dunk Tank.
And you can check out...
Is Coach going to be in there?
No, Coach is going to be over near Hooters Bikini Beach.
Oh, okay.
Presented by Elite Landscaping of Berlin, New Jersey.
Yeah, I'll bet that.
And there'll be exotic sports cars from Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. The Sixers, Flyers, Wings, and Coach Jim Curtin from the Union. You've got the Cash Cube from Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Have you ever done one of these?
I have not.
They had we had these at a station event once, and I tried it. We didn't get to be in it, but we got to try it out. It's hard as you think it would be easy.
Yeah, I did one once. I forget where.
There's some strategy.
And it's hard.
There's some strategy. So be thinking about that. You must be 21 to enter FanFest. Just to clarify for you, you've got to be 21 to enter FanFest. Plus, you can register to win a trip with Anthony and Andrew to Denver to see the Birds play November 14th. Courtesy of Philly Sports Trips. And the FanFest after party will be at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. It is going to be an amazing weekend. And with the Eagles home opener the very next day, right across the street. Now imagine if you lost 32-6 and it was FanFest weekend and the Eagles opener. Everybody be, this town feel a little mopey.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, Bong Boulevard was hopping.
Yeah.
Oh, after the game? People wandering around. I mean, just enjoying life.
Nice.
Enjoying life and a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I lost all my bets yesterday. I benched Jalen Hurts for Aaron Rodgers in my daily lineup. I was just atrocious, and I still woke up with a football smile on my face.
I hate Aaron Rodgers.
I think Aaron Rodgers, the GM, and Aaron Rodgers, the coach, should have a meeting today with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, and say, get your head out of your ass. Because he was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Flat out terrible. All right, we have so much to come. You want to get in with us? You can. 610-632-0975 on this Football Monday on the Fanatic. I will tell you this. It was a crappy weekend for one team in town. Absolutely inexcusable. Plus so much more in your Eagles. It was such a magnificent debut. John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. You know, it's Window Nation's back to school sale. You're a grown-up now. You don't have to go to school. But I'm going to school you on how much you're spending on energy in your home. Your air conditioning bill? Terrible this summer. Your heating bills last winter? Atrocious. Why? Because you're letting the cool air out in the summer. You're letting the hot air out in the winter. What you need to do is seal up that house with windows from Window Nation. Window Nation has got every style, every color, anything you could ever want. Plus, two windows get you two more for free. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. An A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Over a million windows installed. Not a fly-by-night operation here. Get this done before winter hits Philadelphia. It's supposed to be epically cold and snowy. Are you prepared? Get prepared now. And buy two windows, get two free. No money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's a victory Monday on the John Kincaid Show. A joyous Monday.
Keep it in your pants.
It is exciting. So is Grace Auto Group. Devon Gibbons. We trust Devon, right? Everybody says trust Devon around here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, he gave us some advice. He says for low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s, visit graceautopa.com. Grace Auto Group, Route 1, Morrisville, Pennsylvania, just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. So you guys always say, well, you can trust Devon. Of anybody around this place, trust Devon. Well, he tells you where to go get your used cars. take care of business there, and we appreciate them being a part of what we've got going on here at the Fanatic on a Victory Monday. And those of you who want to try to chime in, we would love to hear from you at 610-632-0975. We will hear some of our jury deliberations coming up next hour. Plus, we will review our own predictions coming up here in just a second. But just a quick mention, the Phillies continually just keep you in the dumps.
Okay, that's enough.
It's outrageously bad. A horrible weekend. It really is. That's why I didn't even... They are atrocious.
They probably suck.
Absolutely atrocious. Embarrassing again. Could we stop now? Okay, Jamie, I'm going to give you one more chance. Can we stop with Aaron Nola excuse making? Aaron Nola is an ace. Again. Aaron Nola again. It's the same thing.
I didn't make an excuse last start. Freddie Galvis just needs to make a freaking play in the field.
No, he said he's a good third starter. He's not a good third starter. He's terrible.
Where were you located? Precisely.
I tried to kick him out when you were gone, Pat. He wouldn't leave.
Like, where were you? Were you in the state?
What do you mean? Oh, I was
here.
Yes. Guess what? I can't.
Then look inward. It's
he hasn't
you.
Done anything?
It's you.
Yeah. Yes. I guess what he wants somebody to have an excuse for it. And Joe Girardi yesterday after the game has again. He has no answers. Joe Girardi has absolutely no answers. And that, to me, is very, very frustrating. That's my CEO, and he's got no answers?
What's he supposed to say? He sucks?
No, he did say it stunk yesterday, so yeah. I give him a little credit for that.
I mean,
but, yes, you can at that point say, we expect more.
Okay, that's a polite way of saying you suck.
Yeah, we expect more.
Sure.
But it's like, I hate his
I mean, but we all can watch Joe Girardi and know...
His body language sucks.
Yeah,
sucks.
It might, but we know what he's thinking. He's not going to say it, but we know what he's thinking.
Wow. Do you hear what Nick Sirianni said yesterday? Nick Sirianni said the mistakes we made yesterday are nothing that intelligence can't cure, or something like that.
Yeah, they were non-intelligent.
Non-intelligent. I guess what
non-talent
he's
called? Mistakes.
He's non-talent mistakes. Little intelligence can take care of things. Sometimes a coach will tell you what you really just saw, and they won't sugarcoat it. He flat out. And so Joe Girardi, watch Nick Sirianni. I can't believe I'm saying it. Watch what he's saying. By the way, Football Monday on the Fanatic is brought to you by our friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com. You'll get flexible spending options on a new heating and cooling system. What did we think was going to happen this past weekend? Pat, you do not get to be held accountable this time around.
That's a good thing.
Would you have gone? I don't think you would have picked the Falcons, would you have?
Yeah, no, I had the score prediction, 32-24, I think.
Okay, so you thought it would be a toss-up game.
I mean, 8 point, I want to say it's a toss-up. I thought they were going to get hammered.
Okay.
I was wrong.
So Pat was wrong.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Actually, I was wrong. I thought the Eagles would win 30-6.
Oh,
so I was just
You were off
slightly off, yeah.
All right, can you tell us somebody else that was wrong? Jeff, somebody else's prediction that might have been wrong from Friday?
Yeah, let's go to Bob.
If you're going to build momentum in this game, I said it before, I wanted to start with the offensive line, but I think the key is the defensive line in this game. I just see Matt Ryan being too much of a mismatch. So I'm going to go Falcons 31, Eagles 27.
Okay,
I was
wrong, too. Bob's the first one to get kicked in the, you know.
Oh, it's going to happen to all of us.
It's going to happen to all of us
throughout
the course of the year.
100%.
But it is fun that Bob gets it the first week.
It's a lot of fun.
Because Jamie's insights, I thought, were pretty spot on Friday.
The Eagles, like you said, are built better in the trenches. I think they're a veteran group. They know the three games that are after this week. I think the Eagles win a close one, but I have them winning by about two or three, like 28-24.
Okay. Jamie gave too much credit to the opponent because you're kind.
I did, yeah.
You're kind.
I didn't think the Falcons would be as bad as they were at home.
Oh,
to hold them to 6 points is impressive as hell.
Absolutely.
But they stink.
They absolutely stink.
It's the only game in Atlanta that Philadelphia's faced off this year and that actually mattered, so it's cool.
I think I was pretty...
Only one we remember, right?
I think I was pretty insightful on Friday myself. I truly believe we're going to come in on Monday morning, and we will be talking about an Eagles 27-24 victory. Why do I believe this? Because I believe football's won on the line of scrimmage. And guess what? It was dominated. But I can't believe how much, after the first two series, Jonathan Gannon's defense absolutely crushed Atlanta's soul.
Mm-hmm.
It was heartless what they did to Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Absolutely
great.
Vicious and heartless. It was delicious.
I think Mike Davis is still feeling that BG snot bubble tackle there. I mean,
that was fantastic.
That was as good of a tackle as you can ask for in today's NFL. That line dominated him. And on the invert of it, did Jalen Hurts get hit once all day?
One sack.
Was it one sack from behind? He didn't see it coming.
And guess what? He almost lost that ball.
Yeah.
He could have, yeah.
You got to watch that a little bit.
I think that was when I was right in the car, so I missed seeing that because I come in at halftime, I sprint in, and I heard that, but I didn't see it. The offensive line dominated their line, too. I mean, both trenches were dominant.
By the way, can I give a little... If any of you out there... I don't know if anybody came back on a flight last night. I know that there were two... there are really only like two options to get you from the stadium on a flight home to Philadelphia last night, maybe three, because I know the schedules really well. If you were in attendance yesterday, I'd love to hear from you at 610-632-0975. Thank you, because you absolutely kicked ass. And again, the visiting fans took over a stadium. And even my friends in the Atlanta media were telling me, oh man, the Eagle fans are loud here today. And the Falcon fans, it's a morgue, it's a mall. It's a shopping mall. I expect to see like a Nordstrom and maybe some, you know, fancy designer clothing stores. It's not conducive to this is a vicious, nasty place to play. And I was getting mocked on Friday in Atlanta because they said it would be the Eagles' easiest road venue to play in all year. They dominated. You Eagle fans that made that trip, God bless you. You were awesome yesterday.
It's just the norm. It's funny because yesterday, I think my mother-in-law who was over said something like, wow, is that the Eagles fans cheering? And I was just like, yeah, that's always what it's like. And she said, but it's an away game. And I said, yeah, that's always what it's like at away games. Eagles fans travel. I know we said, what, Pittsburgh
Steelers,
and some others.
Steelers, Green Bay, Eagles are like
I'll
three
tell you,
of the
it's,
best.
They might be three of them, but they're the loudest. I don't care. Awesome. You can compare it to anybody. The Eagles, away when they're away, they are the loudest.
And if you want to travel in style, Bob, you travel with PhillySportsTrips.com. They were down there yesterday.
And they were.
And they're going to Denver with Anthony and Andrew and you guys in Vegas. It's going to be awesome.
Baby.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. By the way, don't miss, and Pat knows this, don't miss big time college football action. When you're 1-1 Temple Owls battle Boston College on Saturday. So if you're a Temple alum and you want to go to the game, it's at noon, and then you can come on over to FanFest. At Lincoln Financial Field is the game on Saturday. Kids' tickets on game day are only $12. Visit owlsticks.com. Pat, what time on the show sheet did you pencil in the big Temple Akron breakdown?
Just you nailed it. It was 6:39.
Yeah, we did. We just
good job, Pat. They won.
He did.
1-1.
Bob threatened to walk off. He said, I'm walking off the show. I'll do 2 hours with Anthony if you even break down.
The problem is, Bob, and it's not well known, but Bob's a huge Zipsman.
I am
Akron Zips guy.
Yeah. I didn't realize. That was a dominant
performance. Would be. Yeah, he's a big Charlie Fry guy back in the day.
Me and Windhorst.
Let's wander. Please, he's a big guy. Let's wander over to Cooney's Corner. Bob thinks this person was the star of the game.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
All right, let me take you through the first two offensive series for the Atlanta Falcons.
Love it.
29 plays. I'm watching, I'm thinking, oh my God, this defense is going to be spent by the second quarter.
Yeah.
29 plays that accumulated 144 yards.
Oh my gosh.
All right, that's first two series. For the rest of the game, 37 plays for 113 yards.
That's ridiculous.
It was 29 for 144 in the first two series, 37 for 113 for the rest of the game. Game ball, first one, goes to your boyfriend, Jonathan Gannon.
Now, you're not moving in on him.
No, you can have him. That's fine. You had first dibs, and I'll watch
him. That's what he says to your face.
Yeah,
he's definitely DMing texting him on the side.
He's sliding
into
his DMs?
Nah, I'm good.
Jonathan Gannon, you're right.
Yeah, and Jamie, you put it well. Not really sure exactly what happened. I don't know if it was a talking to. Someone tweeted at me and saying that Nick Sirianni got on the sidelines and berated the defense a little bit. I didn't see it. Maybe it happened. I didn't see that. But whatever it was, and whatever little changes, or if Matt Ryan just got worse as the game went on, which appeared to happen.
Well, I think he got rattled.
Yeah, they did a really, really good job. And Jonathan Gannon did something that we're just not accustomed to seeing here in Philadelphia. And that was he made an adjustment in the game. And the things that were working, they were running the hell out of the Eagles in the first couple of series. He fixed that. Matt Ryan came out and started doing what I thought he would do more of, what I said last week. He would come out and just zip, zip, zip and hit short stuff all over the place. Well, he started out doing that. Gannon saw it and Gannon stopped it. So I was really, really impressed with the way Jonathan Gannon, during the game, made the adjustments that needed to be made.
Why Matt Ryan, from watching his entire career, he has always been extremely comfortable in hurry-up offense. And the first drive was completely hurry up.
Yeah.
Why in the hell did Arthur Smith go away from that, Jamie?
I don't know. And he had a weirdly called game. There was a time they were down two possessions. I think it was at the end of the third quarter. And they were lining up in the I formation and running the ball on like a second and long. Like they just didn't seem to have any sense of urgency to their offense at all.
Was he trying to prove a point or something?
I don't know.
Got smacked yesterday.
I put
that in my notes. Arthur Smith got smacked.
Yeah, he was
yesterday.
Not impressive yesterday.
He was really bad.
I don't think he's an impressive guy.
And he's old. He's the same age as Sirianni. He looks 20 years older.
He looks, Bob, I got to tell you, I thought he looked 60.
Yeah, and he's like 38.9 or something.
Aaron Rodgers looks 60. He needs a skincare regimen. He looks sick. He needs
He's dating the hippie now, so maybe he's putting the mud on his skin.
Is that why he has the man bun that now?
Yeah, probably. I think he looks like he got into some edibles this offseason.
I think he may have.
Yeah, whatever.
That was awesome yesterday to watch. The Gannon defense, and I love that it is they let him go down the field between the 20s, and then the defense totally, absolutely, even the scheme looked odd, like positioning odd.
Yeah.
He's creative.
People are probably sick of me saying it, but the Darius Slay quote from last year where he talked about having his back to the quarterback all the time stood out to me. That 3rd and 20 play yesterday, he was a half second away from a pick six to the house. Because they were sitting in zone coverage. He was able to plant his foot and drive on a ball because he was looking at the quarterback. That play jumped out to me in neon yesterday.
I don't think he went for the... I think he just went for the...
He did. But if he was a little earlier, that's a pick six and he's not touched.
I think he was afraid that he was going to get a pass interference if he went over the top.
Probably.
So he just smacks it. He looked like Dikembe Mutombo.
But you're putting your players in a situation to make plays and not have your back to the quarterback.
They
ran in misdirection early to Brandon Graham's side, and he didn't budge. Just totally there.
He's awesome.
And that he is, because they ran a misdirection a little later, and Derek Barnett once again. Now, I talk about patience running thin.
He's no Josh Sweat, Bob. We know.
Josh Sweat. Now, here's another defensive check. When they threw an out in the flat yesterday when they were down by the goal line, Sweat was there to help break it up.
Yes.
And it was to a running back. So you had a D-back there and also Sweat there at the same time. So part of that schematic thing that we're talking about with Gannon, that's it too. Using your athletes to get into positions that you normally don't see a defensive lineman going out into the flat on a play that's 3rd and goal. So,
great news.
I thought he did a really, really good job of having schemes and just adjusting to the game yesterday.
I love that after that second series, it was just clamp down time. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it was a beautiful, like, to my ears, whatever, music to my ears.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go, yeah.
You were on vacation.
I'm getting back in the swing of things. The Greg Olsen comment when he was talking about Gannon's defense, and he said, oh, what does it look like? He said, well, show me who my players are, and I'll show you what it looks like.
I love that.
Thank God, because the last 5 years I've dealt with a guy who was putting square pegs in round holes, and it was like, dude, go with what you got. And so that was music to my ears.
There you go. Hey, we appreciate you checking out the John Kincaid Show here on a Victory Monday. We're in victory formation all day long today, and it was a fantastic time. And we put it in proper perspective. I really did think that was going to be the easiest road venue they'd play in all year. So they took care of business. Now, some of you were still stressed out yesterday, even in that kind of game.
Do the birds have you stressed out? Let's find out how stressed.
So after every game of the season, go to the contest page on 975thefanatic.com and click on the Hand in Stone logo and submit your most stressful moment from the game. And every Monday, we will pick one entry, read it on air, and that person will win the stress-free gift of a free massage or facial from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And how could you be stressed yesterday? But this gentleman was Chris Roberts. My name's Chris Roberts, and there isn't much to be stressed about after this great Birds game, but I did find one thing. Late in the fourth quarter, the lead well in hand, Nick Sirianni called a running play for Jalen Hurts. What the heck is he doing? Why put your star quarterback in a running situation when you don't need to? Come on, Nick, be smarter than that. I listen every day. Love you guys. Go Birds! Chris Roberts, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Chris is our first winner. I actually have that on my, I keep, because I'm a dork, I actually write down during the game every single thought that I have.
That's what I do too.
Every single thought that I have in my notes feature. And I also saw that too. What? Stop it. When the game's in hand, I don't want to see Jalen Hurts put at risk of someone taking a hit, twisting an ankle.
He seems pretty smart though in defense of Sirianni here. Jalen Hurts at avoiding contact. You saw his run I think he knows not to put himself in harm's way. So I kind of trust him a little bit.
He didn't slide once yesterday.
Yeah, but he got out of bounds like on most of his scrambles.
He did.
I think he's pretty sharp when it comes to that.
How do you watch a game, Bob, as a writer? As a former writer, but you're still a writer. But how do you watch it? Because I take notes the entire game. I just put down random thoughts.
Yeah, I used to do every play.
Every play?
Yeah, for the past... Well, 2.5 years, I would do every play. But now I do more of a sit back, because with you, just a sit back and observation. So
opinion.
I mean, but I do series by series. So I'll have lines for series and then notes on that series. Yeah.
Jamie, you loved the line from Nick Sirianni. We need to fix the things that have nothing to do with talent. That was honestly what Joe Bell told us at one of our first meetings of the John Kincaid Show.
Really? Yeah, it's a nice thing to hear.
He told us the same thing.
Here's Nick Sirianni after the game. This quote jumped out to me. I loved hearing this from the coach.
We still had a little bit too many pre-snap penalties that we got to clean up. We have to clean up the things that require no talent. You know, master the things that require no talent. We had a little bit too many of those, and we got to clean that up.
It's perfect. It's a perfect quote.
By the way, that's high critique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of your team.
And look, you know, a lot of those were from Lane Johnson, Isaac Seumalo. Jordan Mailata, I thought, got away with like two false starts that didn't get called.
You're wrong.
He did get called for one.
On the touchdown.
Yeah. They were. There was some sloppiness on the offensive line.
Probably because they didn't play in the preseason.
In fairness, though, it was a sloppy game. Like
there
it was
a lot of penalties
on the other side
but
too.
Pat, you were playing a crap team.
I understand that, but my point is, like, I had the same thought of you of, oh well, maybe it's because they didn't practice in the preseason.
Maybe.
Well, Atlanta had the same problem, and
they didn't practice either.
Well, they stink. The Eagles don't.
They didn't practice either. They put all their veterans on.
I didn't know that, man. I'm not following Atlanta Falcons preseason.
They put all their veterans down too. Anybody who tries to spin to you, well, that didn't have anything to do with it. The veterans were the ones acting like boneheads yesterday.
Yeah, but it's also...
stupid penalties.
But that also oddly makes me feel good, because I know that's easily correctable.
And they will fix it.
And I think Nick Sirianni knows that too. And I thought it was a great compliment, but hey, this wasn't good enough either kind of quote from the coach. I loved it.
You know, in the short period of time that he's had this group, for him to be confident enough to say that, and for the players seemingly to take it well... that says a hell of a lot about Nick Sirianni and where he's gotten this club to follow him. It really does. As impressed as I was with them doing what they needed to do on the field yesterday, the things that he and the players said after the game, and we'll get into more of that in a little bit, really made me believe that this group, it's not just a first-time thing. It's not just, oh, he's the new guy, we're behind him. It's a deeper-thinking group of... this guy has it, and we're following it.
It was almost a record day for the franchise in penalties. And anyone who tries to spin to you that it had nothing to do with them not doing anything in the preseason, you're full of crap. You know you are. You're just going to die on a mountain because you're trying to argue it. It was
not the first time that's happened.
Terrible. You know who else is on that mountain? Scott Kingery.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Adam Haseley.
There's a lot of tombstones on that mountain.
There's a lot of tombstones. Yesterday was joyous. So much to be excited about. You will hear jury deliberations on your 2021 Philadelphia Eagles. We will play you some of the selected jury deliberations. And also, if you want to get in and share in the celebration, Connor will take your call at 610-632-0975. In fact, Connor will take the first three callers right now at 610-632-0975 and get you some FanFest tickets for this weekend, which is going to be absolutely awesome. So we look forward to seeing you at FanFest. It is going to be great. Next up, we revisit the debut of Nick Sirianni. And we talk about all the buttons he pushed and how many of them he pushed right against a bad opponent. It's the John Kincaid Show. Victory Monday here on The Fanatic.
Week one may be over, and let's hope you fared better than I did yesterday. I walked into a couple traps. But the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least a dollar, $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code FANATIC to receive that $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's code FANATIC. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it for your app at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. And if Parks Casino today maybe has to change out some light bulbs and they don't have it, it's because of the $22 that's in my app.
Oh!
22, baby! I tried the three-team underdog parlay. Well, two underdogs and one favorite with Washington and the Giants, figuring that that would work out, and the Colts.
Oof. I thought that line was fishy, but apparently
totally
not.
Fishy.
Apparently not.
Completely fishy. And by the way, if you'd like a treat, if you would just like a little treat, go check out the Indianapolis media with their first dose of Carson Wentz after a loss.
How cool is that?
Just go read. Go see some of the reactions. Does this guy take responsibility for anything? It's one game. It's one game, and they're already freaking out over Carson. Does he take responsibility for anything?
It's a personal decision of his that he chooses not to to take blame.
They're already losing their minds. They're all, and it's delicious, but hey, every single snap he took yesterday. Carson, we wish you immense health. They got five games that are brutal to start the year. Then their schedule really lightens up. So we just need all these snaps to get in against the bad teams, because then he's going to start playing the bad team. He's against the good teams.
Yeah.
Then he's going to start playing the bad teams. He's going to look good.
They got the Rams this weekend. Rams look good.
They do.
Yeah, they're pretty high-powered.
They are. They look high-powered.
Yeah.
All right, Nick Sirianni pushed a lot of the right buttons yesterday. And I told you on Friday again, I thought it would be the easiest road venue they'd play in all year. And they really needed that because it allowed them to operate without crowd noise. It allowed them to get comfortable. But 32-6, I certainly never saw that company. Never saw it coming, and I don't think you did either. Play design, absolutely outstanding. I question some of the decision-making. When you win by 26 points, though, that is absolutely nitpicking. When they were up by 9 and he didn't kick the field goal to go up 12, I thought it screamed of the Doug Peterson regime. Too cutesy. I didn't need that. He looked under control completely on the sideline, as did his team. And they always tell you, a team plays like their coach. It was fantastic. His quarterback was given a great game plan, and he executed it to almost perfection. For a rookie coach to have his team that poised and that ready to play deserves high praise. Now, I don't know how many Mondays that we will feel this celebratory, because the schedule is about to get really nasty for like a month and a half. But Nick Sirianni looked every bit the part of a prepared NFL head coach. And honestly, I wasn't looking for anything more than that yesterday. And he delivered. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille. You got Connor Thomas answering your phone calls. And Mike is directing on YouTube and Twitch.tv. It's a John Kincaid show. You'll hear jury deliberations coming up in just a few moments here on The Fanatic. All I wanted, Bob, was the team to look prepared, ready to play. And he delivered that in spades.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it. I think it was the first preseason game, right, John, where we said crisp? Well, I think we said it a lot. I said
you
it
did,
a lot of times. And then he did, yeah. There was some element of that yesterday. Prepared, yes. Calm, poised, good play calling. As I said, that two-minute offense I thought was perfect and wound up with a touchdown. You're not nitpicking. You just said it. You said, you know, there were some things, and in a 32-6 win, you can't go over.
Yeah, you're getting into nitpicking, yeah.
No, I don't think so. Like, that's the first thing I do. Honest to God, it's the first thing I do. And I thought I'd put it in our show sheet stuff yesterday. First thing I do is get into that locker room, get with the players, and say, all right, 14 penalties ain't cutting it.
Against
you know,
a bad
this,
football team.
Yeah, that throw on a deep ball, that's got to be better, Jalen Hurts. Look. You can roll your eyes, but that's how you become a great team. You have to nitpick. You have to go over the bad stuff and correct them, even if it was limited against a bad team. You have to go over it. But, yeah, he was, again, I said it about Jalen Hurts. If you would have put it in front of me and said, watch this guy, how many starts do you think he had? I would no way have said four before yesterday. Nick Sirianni, if you would have put the camera just on him yesterday, I would have thought it was a seasoned coach.
Veteran. He had a poise about him, Jamie, that was, to me, a little bit unexpected. I expected more frenetic. Nick Sirianni, that wasn't him at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, the two-minute drill was a perfect example of it. You know, they got a play to Dallas Goedert that got out of bounds, that was able to hold on to the last time out. I mean, it seems like a little thing, but just hitting on all the right buttons there, and Jalen Hurts is a big part of that, to manage the clock perfectly, to not leave too much time on it, and to have the confidence that they were going to go down and score there. There's nothing to complain about from the coaching staff yesterday on either side of the ball. Shane Steichen and Nick had a great game plan. Jonathan Gannon showed he could adapt in-game to correct some things. I didn't have, and one thing about Sirianni I liked that he's continuing with, the aggressiveness on fourth down. I love a coach with balls. And I like that that's going to continue because I think it's the new way of the NFL.
The only thing is your quarterback can't go backwards 10 yards.
Yeah, sure.
It's a fourth and four, and he runs back 8 yards and then ends up back 12 yards.
It's his fifth game. He'll learn from that stuff.
Can't do that. But he should know that one.
He should, but he's got a great head on his shoulders, and I think it's kind of one of those, hey, it happened this time, don't let it happen again, and he'll fix it.
Pat, you were thrilled to see a regime change with the Eagles coaching staff. So what you saw yesterday, what moved you the most?
Probably the fact that they were able to quickly adjust after that first drive by Atlanta. And I, you know, Greg Olsen, who I actually thought he did pretty
good. He was good.
Really
nice job. Yeah, he was good.
But he said, you know, I think both teams are happy. And I was like, well, if I was Atlanta, I wouldn't be happy. I was dominating them. And all of a sudden, you know, I just hit a roadblock.
Yeah.
And that continued. And it's a bad team that they're playing, but that offense does have weapons. And the fact that Jonathan Gannon was able to just figure it out very quickly. And then Nick Sirianni's play calling, they kept bringing it up on the broadcast, but he hadn't called plays before, and he called a really, really good game. Like, there's not a lot negative you could take away from yesterday's performance, coaching-wise.
Okay, up 9. I want that field goal.
I'll take ballsy out of Jamie's mouth.
You'll think, what? I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that? Say it slowly and let me hit record. Really?
So he just said, I like the, you know, being ballsy and going for
did
it
you
there.
Did you like that at that point?
No. And no. If you guys had a chance, I don't know if you did. Jeff McClain had a 2-part series about analytics and the Eagles over the weekend. There's a lot of analytics going on there. I think that was a more, it should have been a feel type of thing. Yeah, analytics says go for it. I don't know how you felt, but I felt in the game. I understood the analytics right then and there. I understood it. But I also said, no, but the feel that I have here with the first-year coach and Jalen Hurts and all that,
on the road.
I'm kicking the field goal here.
You're up by 12. You're up. Then you demand 2 touchdowns to pass you. A touchdown and a field goal will not pass you. That's 11 at best. That doesn't. I don't give a crap what your analytics spreadsheet says, Melvin. It's stupid.
What do your analytics say about a kicker that they don't have a lot of confidence in? I don't think they have a ton of confidence in Jake Elliott. I think he's only here because he's contractually tied to the team.
If you don't have confidence for him to make that, then it's absolutely derelict that you have him out there kicking. That's a kick he makes.
They don't have. I mean, maybe.
That's a kick he makes.
But you know, they're viewing it as, all right, we're dominating this game. A field goal puts us up still by 2 possessions. Why not go for it here if the odds are in our favor?
Field goal puts you up by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but it's still a two score game.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Not a 2 possession.
It's a risk. It's a calculated risk he was willing to take, and I like it.
Yeah, the calculations. I hear you, and I did. I swear, when it was happening, I knew that it was analytically driven and all that. I was just sitting there saying, all right, the feel that I have right now with all that's going on, which analytics doesn't take into consideration, is. I think a field goal here would just be fine, and you're good moving
what
on.
What was the attempt? I forget. It was a long one, right? Like 54?
No, I don't think it was
shorter.
That long.
No, it was 38, I think.
Was it 38?
38.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken,
that's,
or something
that's
like
long
that.
Long for Elliott.
No, it's not.
It's far from a gimme.
The one thing, that I'll say to you there is, here's the only thing that crept into my head. Who made that call?
Probably the guys up top.
Yeah, you're right. They were at the 36. I'm sorry, John. They were at the 36, and 17 would be 53. You were kind of in no man's land.
Yeah, you're at the point. I think if you're 3 yards closer, you kick it. Okay. If you're 4 yards back, you're you know, punting.
I can't believe we've reached a state in football where a 53-yarder is like no man's land.
I mean, no man's land.
I'm not ripping you guys, but like,
especially in that building.
You know, I'm a little younger, but I grew up with David Akers, who was automatic, and yeah, you're right, like in a dome,
and it was an open roof dome, but the thing is, if there's no wind issues in that building, it is a circular, they open up the roof, it's not a wind tunnel that
but
place.
Yeah, to Bob and Jamie's point with Jake Elliott, it's not
yeah
a,
the only
it's never a gimme.
The only problem I had with it was it wasn't Miles Sanders. They left the rookie in, and Gainwell had a good
Gainwell
game.
Had a great game.
But Miles Sanders was carving them up. Like I'm taking my time there and getting the right personnel in if I am going for it.
By the way, there were a couple nice blocks by Miles Sanders, but the best blocking running back was Gainwell.
I'll tell you, the two of them.
He threw some really nice blocks yesterday.
I thought the two of them were outstanding yesterday in picking up blitzes, picking up linebackers, and it led an awful lot to letting Jalen Hurts be that athletic Jalen Hurts. Like, you can pick up a block, but if you have a standstill quarterback in there, it doesn't get noticed as much as he sees that they're blocking. He can step up, do what he does. I thought those two were phenomenal yesterday, and it was a big part of the game.
Hey, the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982, it's Royal Billiard and Recreation. They provide the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games online at royalbilliard.com. And get a house in a couple weeks. And a little shuffleboard table. I want that right in the main room. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. You were getting your steps in yesterday too, huh?
Yeah, I had that. By the way, I had my steps yesterday by 8 a.m. I went
That's
out.
Good work
I
by went you.
Out. It was beautiful morning too, and I got out and got 3 miles in on the road, out in the road because it was beautiful yesterday.
It was gorgeous.
Morning.
September football is the best. Like, you wake up, it's the best weather.
It's going to be hotter this weekend though. So it's going to be 86 for the Eagles home opener.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's going to be hotter. Mm. 82 is what Adam Joseph is reporting. We will get Adam on later in the week to give us the FanFest weather forecast to put Coach at ease. And I want to remind you, the Fanatics kickoff cash comes your way today at 8 a.m. Your chance to win $500 coming up today at 8 a.m. And the Fanatics kickoff cash will be presented by H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. These folks are great. HVAC service. Good Delco folks. You will love them. DelcoHVAC.com. That's DelcoHVAC.com. And we welcome them into the 680 the Fan fam. 97.5 the Fanatic family. I've never done that.
Wow.
I've never done that.
Muscle memory.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I don't think you have.
That is crazy. That just came out of nowhere. I guess it's because I'm getting abused so much by Atlanta's really up in their feelings today.
That's great.
They're really up.
They love me down there, so you know. Don't worry about it, guys. It's just one game.
What's You're your honored down
what's your
there.
Friend? What's your friend Jamie down there? The little troll that gets you.
Who gets you?
For the podcast.
Is it Hoyt or Lowe's?
He hosts like a little podcast, and he doesn't like you. You don't even remember who it was?
I don't even remember.
Oh, we got to find out.
No, it wasn't Hoyt or Lowe's. They're cool.
It wasn't those guys. Like
guys.
No, it was some other former coworker you got there who was popping off my boy Jamie.
Okay, find out who it is.
And let me show you.
Pat knows who it is.
I think it was.
Was it Chernoff?
I think it was.
Oh, yeah, he's the one that came hardest at me.
Okay, well,
Wayne.
Yeah, well, Matt Chernoff is today. What I do know is Matt's very objective. So he'll start out today and be...
Oh, it's going to be a long season for the Atlanta Falcons fans.
If he shows his face in the city, he'll get his objective ass kicked. I'll tell you that.
You know the worst part with Mr. Chernoff? His father, great dude, Neil, has since passed. I used to watch Eagles games with him with the Eagles club because his dad is a Philadelphian. His dad grew up here.
So he's a traitor.
Matt grew up in Atlanta, but Neil allowed his son to be an Atlanta sports fan, which my daughter was raised the right way.
Yeah.
And by the way, Olivia is strolling into school today.
I'm happy for her today. It's a good feeling.
She said, I have a hit list of people that she can't, including faculty, that she cannot wait to see from the grief she was taking Friday.
Yeah. Falcons Twitter yesterday was spiraling.
They were not happy. All right, we have our jury. Here on the John Kincaid Show, our jurors had the opportunity to check in and give some of their deliberations. Coach, we're going to have Pat present some of these. Your phone number given away. Here's it just so. Coach does not need you to give deliberations before the game. So on his voicemail, he does not need to hear that the crab dip is going to be fantastic.
Oh, who doesn't love it? You know what goes great with crab dip is bugles.
Really?
But go ahead, John.
Bugles are those...
They're salty as hell.
Yeah, they go great with crab.
They're the cone.
The cone.
I think we have some in the machine behind us, actually.
I think of bowling alleys when I think of bugles. Like out of the machine at the bowling alley. A little bit.
All right,
Pat, what do we got from our jurors?
It's the John Kincaid Show's inaugural Birds Jury of 12. Now, let's head to the courtroom.
All right, so the first one is going to be, I know he's one of Bob's jurors, because Bob claimed her before we even announced the promotion. So.
Okay.
All right, yeah, this is juror number two checking in. This is Alyssa, and I'm going to start off by quoting my guy, Tyrone Johnson, and say that the word of the day for me was hope. And hope is what I needed from the Birds today. Hope is what they gave me. I think Hurts looks good. Devontae looks good. Our offense really looks good. Defense eventually got it together after a little bit of a shaky start. Love the Hurts Sirianni handshake. I'm a fan of that. And honestly, I feel like I'm getting a lot of good vibes from this team right now. And it's been a while since we've felt that. So let's get it.
Great job, Alyssa.
See that?
Bob, you picked a good juror.
Of course, I picked a great juror.
She got like 30 seconds. She understood how to get her point of view across. Alyssa, damn good.
The Sirianni. Did you hear Sirianni where the handshake came from? It's him and his sons.
By the way.
That him and Jalen adopted. That's pretty cool.
By the way, the a-holes, and I'll call them that.
Wow.
Abusing Jamie Apodi on Twitter for asking that question. I wanted to know about it, too, because it looks a little complicated.
And you got a cool answer from it.
And by the way, Jamie, you keep doing your job and let the trolls on Twitter shut their damn mouths. What do you got?
This one is Mike and Del Rin. I don't know who's
he's mine.
We've never heard of Mike.
Okay, yeah. Yes. So Mike's new to the show. He's new to the station. And here's Mike.
This is juror number three, Mike from Del Rin here. Wanted to watch one of each drives. Defense, could be a sieve this season. Didn't look very special, but that offense, that looked awesome. Let's go. Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. First six. Go Birds!
Love it. See, Mike gets the idea too. Mike and Alyssa get the idea. That is exactly what we're looking for, that feeling right after the game of how this whole thing broke down. What about the last one?
Who is Jeremy?
Jeremy, go on.
Is that John?
I think it is.
Okay, all right, well, here's Jeremy.
This is Jeremy, one of the jurors for 97.5 The Fanatic. Overreaction, I can see this team easily averaging 28 to 35 points a game, but this is expected when you play a team with a subpar defense. Underreaction, we played a bad team that has a subpar defense. Let's see what happens when we play the Niners next week, a team with a good defense and solid weapons. Overall, a good win by the Eagles, mostly based off the offense, and the defense came through.
I like that. A little balance.
Yeah.
I like that. That's what we're looking for. That's great job. That's just some of our jury deliberations. You'll hear them throughout the course of every show after these games. I will say this, though. The 49ers defense gave up more points than the Falcons defense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's already been a little line movement in this game.
What is it?
It opened some books' heads.
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Eagles 4-point underdogs.
It's down to 3. You were right originally.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was either 3.5 or 4, depending on the early look-ahead lines. Now it's down to 3 on a lot of books. All of a sudden, this became, and this should put a smile on Eagles fans' faces, this became a coin flip game, in my opinion. A home dog, and the team's feeling that good after dominating a team, and San Fran's defense just let up, 36 to Detroit, and they lost their best cornerback? This is a coin flip game now, all of a sudden.
Plus, Kyle Shanahan's an absolute jerk. He is a jerk.
Oh, wait, that comes into play.
One of our jurors, Quaz, joins us, too, on the line here in the Fanatic. Quaz, why didn't you leave a voicemail? And more importantly, what'd you feel? Quickly.
Okay. I lost the number. It surely
yeah, that's my man.
Okay. I lost the number, but special teams. Jalen Reagor caught a punt return. There was no defender within 10 yards around him, and it turned into a 5-yard loss. He is too slow. He needs to hit the hole and stop dancing around. Defense, I love a 3-4 defense. Trust me, I do. We've been 4-3. But a 3-4 defense without Alex Singleton, question mark. The offense looked pretty smooth, and I just hope that the offense grows up for more than just throwing it in the flats. We got all this speed. I want to see some downfield action. And the best thing about the offensive line this weekend is I didn't have to see Jason Peters.
There you go. Quaz, awesome, man. I appreciate
good
it.
Job, Quaz.
Get Quaz the number so he can check in with some of this stuff, too. That was great, though.
Yeah, Jason Peters made it to the second quarter last night.
I knew it. I mean, we knew it.
It's unbelievable. I have a buddy who is a Chicago Bears fan. And he called me last week and said, does Jason Peters have anything left? And I said, yeah, you might get 3 quarters out of him this year.
It sucks. I don't like watching him.
No, we don't want to see a great player like that.
Did you see him get
one of my favorite Eagles ever?
My God. He got hit with one arm from Donald, and he just went flying on his ass.
Aaron Donald is.
Oh, he's pretty good.
He's a vicious.
He's a dominant defensive lineman.
He is a vicious son of a.
This is genius, though. Because I think what the Eagles did is, look, Jason Peters is a legend with this franchise.
Yes, sure.
They sent him to Chicago purposely to be that bad where they have to go, we need another left tackle. Where are we going to get one? Howie calls up, I have Andre Dillard. He's barely played. All right, not a lot of tread on that tires. So
wait a minute. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Are they going to get fooled twice?
You can't get fooled again.
Desperation is a stinky cologne, John.
It is. By the way,
that
team is desperate.
Sweaty season, feeling good for you?
Love me some sweaty season.
All right, speak for yourself with Bob Cooney's coming your way in just about 10 minutes or so. And I will have a hot seat moment that we premiere on the show. We are having a fun, joyous Monday on the show, and we hope that you are going to be with us. Your chance to win $500 too at the top of the hour, thanks to DelcoHVAC.com. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. So how long have you lived in your house? 10 years? 15? More importantly, how long has that water heater been living in your house? Because it's not something that you're even thinking about every day, but it's something that you should be checking on. You've heard Ron Jaworski talk about our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters, and we're so thrilled. Bradford White Water Heaters sponsors our 6 a.m. hour every single day here on the John Kincaid Show. You know that they're built to be the best because Jaws tells you, and you believe Jaws. But you know what? You won't find Bradford White Water Heaters at big box retail stores, and there's a reason for that. Bradford White Water Heaters, they're available only through plumbing and heating professionals. Bradford White firmly believes in safe, professional installation of their products, making sure you get top performance and reliability. So, Your water heater's been living in your house a little bit longer even than you have, and it isn't getting the job done. Visit BradfordWhite.com today. And remember, you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, do what we did in the Kincaid house. It's going to be beautiful. Choose Bradford White. Learn more and find a local pro at BradfordWhite.com, and we welcome Bradford White into the John Kincaid Show family.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's a football Monday on The Fanatic. And it's brought to you by Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Systems, the contractors you can trust. Visit nopaybryant.com. They've got flexible spending options. Get that new heating and cooling system. And boy, do we appreciate Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. They are fine supporters, too, of the American Association for Cancer Research. So we greatly appreciate them being a part of the show. Football Monday just feels absolutely fantastic. And Christina said there are a lot of pissed off people in the airport. Christina's flying up this morning.
Fantastic.
She's flying up this morning. She said there are a lot of pissed off people at the airport.
Love it.
Everybody muttering in TSA line about, you see that? That was terrible. And a lot of Eagles fans flying home on her flight, I guess, this morning.
Yeah.
Coming back. So she'll be here.
I said, skipping through the airport.
I said, I promise you, you're going to hear an Eagles chant on the flight. And she goes, no, I'm not. I said, oh, no, you are.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I said, you absolutely will. And she goes, seriously? I said, yes. They'll chant Eagles on the flight. I said, it'll be a great time.
I got my daughter Skylar chanting it.
I saw that yesterday.
So awesome. It melts my heart.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It's awesome. She gets real excited by it now. It's fun.
Does she know the fight song yet?
Not yet.
We're working
on the letters first.
We've got the video of Olivia with the fight song when she was little.
It's
the best.
It makes watching the game different, awesome for me.
We get Fan Fest weekend and we get Dad Daughter weekend this week.
Nice.
And I'm so excited.
Good weekend.
And she is so excited to go to the game on Sunday and for our Dad Daughter game. And she's been pretty good. She's only seen one loss so in her career. So hopefully it'll be a big one for you coming up this weekend. All right. It is the premiere of The Hot Seat. Here on the John Kincaid Show. Let's hear it.
Yesterday's game has everyone talking, but one person is on the hot seat. Let's find out who.
Well, I'm going to say for this week, and hopefully this isn't a constant, that it is going to be a collection of people. The Eagles veterans along the offensive line were horrendous yesterday in their inability to just execute with perfection, and I don't expect perfection, but all the penalties. The franchise, it was almost a franchise record for penalties yesterday. That's crazy. And it was veteran players, so I'm going to put some of this on Nick Sirianni. So, Nick, you're a little bit on the hot seat with this. You've learned a lesson. If you had played a legit opponent yesterday, 14 penalties would crush you. And for veteran players who didn't play a lot in the preseason, it shows you need reps to get comfortable, especially when you sat out a lot of the 2020 season due to injury. Nick Sirianni can learn lessons along the way. He had a tremendous debut. But for the Eagles veterans to have that many unforced errors yesterday, absolutely horrendous and can't happen again. If you do it against San Francisco, you're going to get your ass kicked. And I know this. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Fast, friendly, local HVAC service. How do I know they're local? Because they're Delco guys. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning bringing you the hot seat. The veterans, the unforced errors yesterday, they were approaching a franchise record for penalties in a game.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jamie brought it up perfectly a few weeks ago when he said that Jalen Hurts has never played with Lane Johnson. He's never played with Brandon Brooks. Now turn it around. Neither have they played with him. So cadence. Look, I'm sorry, but when you're in a game and you're in a stadium full of people, you may be used to your quarterback's cadence, but it might be a little more juiced up in front of those people in your first game of the season. There's going to be things that are different than what happened in a controlled practice. And I think some of that, if not most of it, was attributed to that yesterday.
The Eagles are on pace for 224 penalties, which I'm sure they'll clean up. They usually average 100 to 115 per season. They're on pace for 224, so that needs to change.
They're on pace.
Here's what people tell me. I understand, but here's what people tell me.
I just love saying they're on pace.
Yeah, you're totally overreacting yesterday. Oh, my gosh, relax. 14 penalties. Relax. It's just one game.
Are you the guy when Bryce Harper hits two opening day home runs says he's on pace for 374 home runs this year?
No, but what I'm going to tell you is if you're overreacting,
just facts.
It's not overreacting. 2020, the Eagles averaged 6.7 penalties per game. 2019, 6.3 penalties per game. 2018, 6.3 penalties per game. 2017, 7.3 penalties per game. It's not an overreaction. They doubled their worst year. They doubled it yesterday. That is an atrocious performance that's got to get cleaned up, and it's got to get cleaned up by this weekend.
You're not overreacting. That's ridiculous.
No, I got people saying to me, oh, my gosh, the Eagles win 32-6, and you're complaining about penalties.
Damn right, because that's penalties? How you become a better football team, is that you correct the mistakes even though you have a really good win. I mean, that's ridiculous if you're going to say, oh, yeah, but it's a win. I don't care. You can't do that. And John, you put it perfectly. You can't do that against a good football team.
No, you would have gotten your ass kicked yesterday if you played any legitimate opponent if you get penalized 14 times. And that would have been the headline of today's show.
Sure.
That you're playing that undisciplined.
Yeah, but because of who was making the penalties, I'm not worried about it at all.
I hope not.
I mean, I don't expect Lane Johnson to, you know, the one was a shovel pass penalty where they got the illegal man downfield. Like, that stuff that'll be cleaned up. That's all technicality stuff. It's their preseason, and they knock the rust off, and they'll be fine.
And I'll say this also. It's also the preseason for the referees. Like,
they were a little
so
whistle happy yesterday.
There were so many defensive interior line holding calls. I rarely see that during a season.
Kelsey might have gotten away with one, and Grady Jarrett got called for it.
I wonder whether it was a edict. That has been passed down.
Could have been, because you see that a lot, too. And oh, absolutely.
And then they pull it back.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they say, we're calling that a little
point of interest is what NBA referees call it. Point of interest, and you see it called and called and called, and then it kind of weans itself out as the year goes on.
Well, you never hear that that penalty for lowering your head to initiate contact anymore. And for like 3 weeks, that was the
That's
NFL's
all we heard,
obsession.
Right.
Was lowering the helmet. You don't hear that anymore.
Hey, again, the hot seat brought to you by H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. We welcome DelcoHVAC.com. We welcome them into the John Kincaid Show family. Some good Delco folks, which always is a great thing. I like that, bringing them on board. Hey, Park Sportsbook app has got a great offer for you, too. Before Monday Night Football tonight, new customers sign up now. Get a free $50 sports bet. And there's no deposit required. Just click parkscasino.com/PA. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And if they're a little upset today at the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, it may be because I got $22.
I don't know how they're ever going to survive.
I think there may be like, they may decide, do we have to cut down the cocktail sauce and the shrimp?
Yeah.
Like, or something.
They're definitely going to dim the lights.
It could be. Save a little money today, because Kincaid's going to take us to the cleaners.
I mean, $22, that's going to get you some stuff.
By the way, inside the Birds tonight, Mosher and Kaplan. Tonight at 6, right after the Mike Missinelli Show, leading you up to Devon Givens. Inside the Birds tonight, 6 to 8, right here on The Fanatic. There's one thing you don't do with Bob Cooney, and I've learned that. Don't speak for him, because Bob likes to speak for yourself.
And now, it's time for Bob Cooney's Speak for Yourself. Here's Bob.
Yeah, so it's good to get some players out there after a game, get them talking a little bit more and talking about exactly what went down. And the person that impressed us, I think, most yesterday on the field was probably Jalen Hurts on the Eagles. And I'll tell you what, he's just as good behind a microphone, too. His explanations, his wherewithal of what's going on during a game, how to relay it after a game, impressed me as much as his play on the field yesterday. And the first thing he talked about was something it caught my ear because he was talking about double dipping, and it wasn't Jamie trying to screw the managers here at work.
It's a situation, man, we talk about it. It's hidden yardage and hidden points, right? And we could have double dipped there. We didn't come out in the second half and score like we wanted to, but I mean, it was good to get it in. You know, we found a way in that situation. We found a way, and that's good to see.
I love that.
I love it, too, because he wasn't just satisfied with that great two-minute offense that he ran at the end of that first half. No, he was a little bit upset when they got the ball to start the third quarter that they didn't, in his words, double-dip there. They didn't score on both of those advantages.
I think Jalen was looking at my tweet from right before halftime when I said,
totally.
Hey, double down. And I call it doubling down.
Yeah, he missed.
He calls it the double dip.
Yeah, he meant to mention
that.
You.
He
did. He meant to mention you because it did come back to you. But, yeah, I thought it was just great thinking after the game to have a 23-year-old be asked the question about a great offensive two-minute drill to end the first half. And he kind of immediately goes to, yes, but we wanted the double dip and we didn't. And he was put off by that. I thought that was phenomenal. He was also asked about that two-minute drill and ultimately how it ended up.
9 seconds left in that situation. Think about, do you want to scramble around? Do you want to make a play? It was a situation where a play was made. Dallas caught the ball, I threw it, and it's good. I'm happy we scored. We got to come out. We had the ball in the second half. We want to score, though, when we get the ball back.
Again, he's going back to off of the great play.
Hold himself accountable.
Exactly, saying, yeah, but we didn't score. But the bigger thing is, to me in all this, when he had the ball there, and he's talking about he knew exactly how much time was. I didn't know whether I should scramble, because earlier he said, I didn't know whether I should scramble around. I knew I didn't have that much time to do it. I only had 9 seconds to go. You got to figure if you want to make a scrambling play there or make the play to doubt, knowing full well that if he threw an incompletion there, still time on the clock to score. Great, great
awareness.
Thinking during a game by a young, young quarterback.
Coach's son.
Yes.
Like, that's the type of stuff that you don't have to worry about with a coach's son.
When you hear Jalen Hurts speak, though, you can tell he is a Saban disciple.
Oh, yeah.
The way he answers, the way he has a, it's always, there's always a self-deprecation involved,
yeah,
where he can get better. That's awesome.
It's a realistic thing to me, and it also leads to this last clip that we have from Jalen Hurts here. As great as he was yesterday, and as easy as it would have been to kind of take that, I don't expect him to go and gloat it behind the microphone, but he could have acknowledged. Instead, he's talking about cleanup that has to be done.
It means so what, not what. Simply so what, not what. Every play has to be played independently. You know, never get too high, never get too low in the midst of all things, and keep going. You know, last play is over, good or bad. How are we going to respond to the next play? How are we going to attack the next play? So it's a good start for us with the dog mentality. We just want to be consistent. A lot of things we need to clean up, a lot of things I need to clean up, but go back to work. Enjoy it for 24 hours, and we'll be back working.
There's the 24-hour rule, too, the Nick Saban 24-hour rule.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, they should enjoy it.
Don't talk about it the next day. When you wake up, it's to the next team.
And they,
but enjoy the moment when you have it.
Absolutely, and they should do it. And I also love how he says, we need to clean up, I need to clean up. Right away, the praise he gives to others, the guilt he wants to put upon himself. I think that is a leader extraordinaire. And for someone, again, this young to be able to do that this early in his career, I think it's fantastic.
Eagles public relations didn't know what to do with it when the quarterback actually took it on themselves. they were surprised. They asked for like a guidance from the league. And they said, no, quarterbacks do that occasionally. Take the blame.
Yeah, imagine that. So Nick Sirianni was also asked about getting into the locker room after the game, what it was like after his first win. And you have to listen a little bit and have a crazy mind like I do to get the meaning of all this.
After the game, it's just the excitement of being in the locker room with the guys. One of our first meetings when we talked about connecting, I said that there's probably not a better feeling when you're in the locker room after the game, celebrating, hugging, doing your handshakes with each other, whatever it is. There's not a better feeling in the world unless you're connected with the people across from you. If we didn't think about connecting every day and we went in and won that game, it would still feel really sweet, and those hugs would still be really cool. But when you really connect with somebody, those hugs mean a little bit more, and those are special moments.
Emotional intelligence.
It seems like it, right? I mean, remember, Doug, what this reminded me of? I was watching it yesterday when he said this. All I could think of was the Gatorade and Doug Peterson after the Washington game, right? The year
that they won
the Super Bowl, and me included, said, seriously? Gatorade after a win in Washington, what? But it was a show that they were together.
Emotional intelligence.
That they loved this guy. The team, the players love this guy, and they needed to show it. Nick Sirianni is kind of building even more on that, in my mind, that Doug Peterson had. And I love to hear what he said. There's a connection there, and it's palpable. And let's keep an eye on how good it gets.
I might be giving him too much credit here, but it's almost like the guy asked, what was wrong in the locker room last year?
I sort of felt that
it seems like he's going out of his way to give the whole team a hug and bring everybody in together.
Yeah,
seems like a conscious effort on his part.
That's a great point. I wonder how much of it is a conscious effort and how much of it is him generally.
I think it's a combination of the two. Because I think he's genuinely that guy. But I also think he knows it might have ripped apart that locker room last year.
Though? He never throws any shade towards Doug Peterson or that regime or anything. He doesn't reference anything that happened before he got here in a negative fashion. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And that is emotional maturity.
It is. For a 40-year-old, and that's great, too. So we heard what Jalen Hurts had to say about that two-minute drill. Not only were we impressed, but so was his head coach on what he did.
Taking what the defense gave him, methodically going down the field, making big throws when he needed to make big throws, checking it down when he needed to check it down, making a run when he needed to make a run, just good quarterback play. So to go down and get a touchdown in a two-minute drill, you know, sometimes you're thinking, let's go get points. Then you get to a point, you're like, all right, let's go get seven.
Yes.
There you go. Yes.
I mean, that's trust. It's not the coach saying we called the right plays and he executed them. He's basically saying he did what he had to do. And maybe, the way I read it, I don't know how much Sirianni had a hand on it. I think some of it was given to Jalen Hurts, and he executed it perfectly. And I also think Jalen Hurts, from the way I read what Sirianni was saying, may have ad-libbed some things and did it perfectly.
Yes. I think that's clearly what he was saying.
Yeah, now the last thing we have here, Brandon Graham, who I could listen to talk to forever, he talked about his head coach. And, John, I think this was geared, once again, the first one and the last one, geared towards you.
Thank you, 97.5. I think it's just, you know, you want to fight for him because, you know, he's been the same guy since he got here. He even, you know, joked about the other day about his first time doing the media and how everybody ripped him, how mad he was. But at the same time, he was like, you know, you had to shake it off and come back and do it again. And you got to make sure you had that next play and that dog mentality and know that, you know, you're here for a reason, and you can do it, and you're going to make mistakes, but it's the ones that can not worry about it and not let that mistake stay in your mind.
There you go.
You can impress me.
Stay in your mind.
Yeah, you can impress me with the words you say as much as you can impress me with the words you don't say.
And more importantly, self-awareness to say he was pissed about his performance, and he realized it had to get better.
Yeah.
Dude,
and
self-awareness, because it was the worst opening press conference next to that clown in Detroit that I've ever seen.
But did we ever hear Sirianni say, at least I didn't, did we ever hear him say anything about, oh, I hear people written? No. He kept
Brandon
it to himself.
Graham let that out.
He told his team. He said, okay, look, they're making fun of me, but I'll get better, whatever it may be. He handled it perfectly.
Absolutely.
And it's another insider little thing to Nick Sirianni that you're not going to see on the football field, but something that I greatly admire.
And stop making so much of press conferences, people. I don't think it's an indication on who a guy is, especially when it's over Zoom and he's young and he's never done it before. It was just
he should have been coached up.
Zooms are awkward to begin with, right. Let alone doing it as a media barrage of questions coming at you. So, good for him.
Hey, switch up your routine with Wawa's delicious and crunchy breakfast and lunch paninis. Choose your favorite, like Southwest Turkey or a Chipotle bacon egg panini, available at Wawa. And later on in the week, Bob will have a speak for yourself as we get ready for the next weekend, which is Fan Fest weekend on Saturday.
Hopefully we get a little Kyle Shanahan.
And
speak for yourself.
He's such a miserable son of a... He really is. Hopefully somebody.
He's a big fan of you. Like, this is the thing. When we're gonna mend this bridge between you two. I
never,
feel it. Yep.
No way, never. He told one of my old coworkers that I deserved a throat punch for something.
Well, maybe it did. What'd you do?
Yeah, I mean, let's see it to the side.
He lost the game plan.
Greg Lewis got throat punched yesterday.
He lost at media night. He left behind the game plan. So we may have had kindergarten teachers talk about some pointers on not losing your stuff, what they do, and things like that. And he suggested...
Wait, you're telling me a football coach is taking himself too seriously?
He suggested that I needed a throat punch.
Well, when you say he lost the game plan...
He did. He lost. He
no, and
behind.
I get it. Like, he left it behind, whatever. Like, there's more, right? You can print them out.
It was an iPad. No, it was on the iPad.
So he left the iPad.
And guess what? It was found by somebody with the Patriots when they came in for their meeting.
How convenient. The Patriots found it.
So guess what? Down 28-3, they may have had the game.
So maybe it was stolen. Exactly. Did he actually lose it, or did the Patriots steal it?
He did lose it. He forgot it.
We can't rule out the fact they might have stolen it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the team that's always cheating and was able to come back down 28-3.
He knows that he left it.
You deserve a throat punch.
He knows that he left it.
I think you stole it.
But he doesn't understand that the Patriots may have just found a way to get the game plan. You never know. Hey, Andrew in Phoenixville joins us on the Fanatic. Andrew, what's going on, brother?
Good morning, gentlemen. Awesome game yesterday. The only thing I would point out is that we need to clean up on the false starts, obviously. We'll clean up during the week. My question to you guys is everybody obviously disrespected us in the last few weeks and a few months. Obviously, with yesterday's game, Atlanta didn't all do that well. On defense, they did run the ball on us pretty well. Hopefully we clean that up. What kind of reaction does the NFL have toward us now based on what we performed, how we performed yesterday in Vegas? I mean, obviously
we're going to find out what people think. I think the Falcons are, it was the team. I didn't think they would ever blow them out. But I thought the Eagles were the better team.
Yeah, they were the better team yesterday against a team that's not any good at all. I didn't think Atlanta was that bad.
No.
The Eagles had something to do with it, but Atlanta's just downright bad.
Chris in Yardley joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Chris.
Chris?
Yo, sorry about that. I had a little delay.
Oh, there you go, buddy.
I just wanted to talk. Bob Cooney brought up last week about communicating and how important it was to see it. And I don't know if anyone called it, but watching Nick Sirianni screaming at the defense from the sideline gave me kind of chills. It gave me a nice cockle-warming feeling because I watched my head coach actually speaking to his entire team as opposed to coaches in the past who only focus on one thing. And it goes to show you that when he says he just loves the game of football, it was proven yesterday. And that communication also by Hurts running, being able to point out to guys to drop down some blocks, that's what we needed. That's what we wanted to see, and we saw it. And I couldn't have been happier watching it.
Yeah, I saw Chris's tweet yesterday to me, and I didn't respond. I forgot to respond to it because it was during the game. But I didn't see that part. We talked about it a little bit earlier. But a couple of people said it, that Sirianni went over to the defense.
Yeah.
Think about this. He went over to the defense. He went over to the part of the ball that we don't think he is involved with all that much, and had to let them know, let's go. Get your bleep together. I love it.
And Doug didn't even talk to Carson.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a breath of fresh air yesterday. Zach Berman makes his premiere as our Eagles insider analyst coming up at 8:10. So you don't want to miss that. Zach's reaction to the first game of the Eagles 2021 season, and your chance to win $500 right after the top of the hour. It's the John Kincaid Show. It is a joyous Victory Monday here on the Fanatic. Your windows, they stink. The curb appeal of your house, atrocious. You realize it's your biggest investment, so why are you not investing in making sure that your house is going to be warm this winter and cool next summer? You're thinking, well, money's a little tight, JK. I don't have the money right now to pay for it. Well, I've got the answer for you. Window Nation. Window Nation has a great deal for you right now. Get in before the fall rush. Buy two windows, get two free. So you got a house with 20 windows, you're only paying for 10. That intrigues you, right? But money's a little tight right now, JK, I don't have it. Well, no money down, no payments, no interest for 2 years. So Labor Day of 2023, they're going to come calling for you to start to pay for these beautiful new windows that will be paying off in curb appeal and energy savings for years to come. With a million windows installed and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you know you can trust them. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Then take advantage of this amazing deal. 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour on a joyous Monday on the John Kincaid Show, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. It is, there's a great energy today. There's a great fun vibe in the air and everything. But what, and I've said it before, I don't know that you guys can understand how excited I am to be here and to be doing this. I've never gotten to do this. I've never gotten in my own hometown with my own team, gotten to celebrate on a Monday morning on the radio. And for years, I would listen to this station, other stations, and share in the joy of an Eagles victory by listening on an app 750 miles south. To be here for it is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
And it's fun.
Oh, it's great fun. And the reaction of fans. And like, look, you went out to dinner with your cousins last night. You and I were texting yesterday morning before the game. And so the conversation there was great. I have a group of friends from high school that we were all going back and forth about. That was great. The listeners, the callers, all of us. I mean, it's just, it's why you and I texted yesterday at 11 o'clock in the morning, John, and you had already put in 5 miles. I showed a picture of you. I was, you know, I had already worked. I had done a million things before 11 o'clock because we get that as a group, as a city. We get that energy before a game.
I was out of bed at 6:30 yesterday. I couldn't. Once I woke up, I realized it was game day, and I was too excited to go to
try to get back. I had a pancake and bacon breakfast planned for me and the girls, so I got up, you know, made the breakfast.
Cook?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Busted out the griddle, made some pancakes. It was
exact same thing.
Oh, it's a great pancake day.
Pat, were you over? I was at your favorite place for breakfast.
Oh, Nudie's.
I was at Nudie's yesterday for breakfast.
Almost ordered them. Did not,
but
though.
But you did not.
Did not. Went to a local place, Sabrina's.
Because I heard Jack Egan calling me out the weekend before when I was in Atlanta.
Yeah, he was right outside of your building calling you
looking,
a coward.
And he was looking for me.
Yeah, he wanted the hands. But it was... And I actually thought of you because we're used to it. We're preconditioned to being here after a win or a loss or whatever and walking around, going in your Wawa and seeing Eagles jerseys and stuff. But, like, there really is a different atmosphere after they win. Like, I went out and bought him ice cream yesterday after the game, and the place that we went to gave us a discount for wearing Eagles stuff. Like, you don't get that, obviously, where you were coming from. And
you don't.
It's just everyone was in a good mood. It's amazing what good sports do to us.
If you know anybody who was on Delta Flight 1394 this morning, so if you have somebody that you know that is on Delta Flight 1394 coming from Atlanta to Philadelphia, my wife said it is the loudest pre-flight she's ever been on. And people in Eagles jerseys.
I see hokey mouse everywhere.
She said, it is the loudest.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
She said, especially a morning flight.
Yeah. Because they probably went out all day celebrating, and they probably woke up with a Bloody Mary.
So if you know anybody who's on 1394 coming up from Atlanta, my wife says it is a party.
Awesome. Having the time of his life.
She said they're going to drink the plane dry. She can just tell. They're going to, that's what's
going
to happen.
Those are Cooney's people.
It'll be. Hey, a head coach loves a win like that because there's so many things to praise, yet so many things to work on. The offensive line had a great game, but they were atrocious with the penalties. Yes, Nick, we now know that even veterans need some work in the preseason. Put that in the ledger for next year. It's amazing when you win in a blowout and still have so many things that you can rattle players' cages about, subtly or directly. To go on the road and win while you constantly shoot yourself in the foot is incredibly impressive. And the best part, the guys making the mistakes were the veterans. And Jamie has pointed it to this. That's why Jamie, 14 penalties doesn't concern him, because he says the guys making them, we have a history of knowing they'll get this cleaned up. Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, obviously on the same page.
And that might be the best part of it all. Was there even a throw yesterday where you gasped? Where you thought, don't throw that ball. Oh, that was a terrible decision. The play design, awesome. Remember, it was just the Falcons. And the Falcons suck with a capital S. But it was an unexpected blowout, and I'm going to choose to enjoy it. Bob, Jamie, Pat, Connor, Mike, Coach Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Zach Berman joins us in just a few moments. I'm going to choose to enjoy it, and there are so many good things to be excited about from yesterday.
Yeah, no reason not to enjoy it. Absolutely not. Even if you're just going to sit back and watch this season kind of like an analyst as opposed to a cheerleader, and you just pick and choose what you like, what you don't like, what needs to get better, how is this team moving forward, there was nothing not to like yesterday except the things that you pointed out.
The penalties.
And Jamie said it perfectly. Both of you did that. It's the veterans. That'll be corrected easily. But you need young players to get confidence. And I think you got that in Quez Watkins early. Jalen Hurts, obviously. Devontae Smith, although I think his confidence is through the roof anyway. Jalen Reagor. You know, young guys that you needed to get confident, they did yesterday. And that's as big of a part as winning 32-6.
Devontae Smith had a quote after the game that made it move. And he was asked about, when did you know you had a touchdown on that play? His answer, when I lined up at the line of scrimmage and saw man coverage.
Yeah.
You talk about confidence. My God, this is the kid's first NFL game, and he goes...
His first pass reception.
Yeah, not one person on this field can cover me. He's got that kind of confidence.
Well, one-on-one, yes.
Yeah, one-on-one. He's going to be open a lot in this league, and Jalen Hurts and him, the Alabama thing's overblown because they didn't play together that much, but they have a connection, that's for real.
I'll take balls out of Jamie's mouth.
Well, that'll be after the show. I like two traffic catches, too, by Devontae Smith.
Yep.
In traffic, over the middle, not a hesitation.
Nope.
And then he gets his backside down, gets the catch, gets down, doesn't take the hit, knows how to get it, absorb contact, go to the ground. He is special. Pat, we're joyous. Are you joyous? After a week vacation, you got to be joyous.
Yeah. When the alarm went off, it was...
Not as joyous.
Yeah, that sucked, but... Yeah, there's nothing to complain about with this win. I mean, and everything you guys have already laid out, Devontae Smith. We haven't brought him up. The punter. Like, you know.
Yes.
You know it was
supposed
a good win
to God.
When you don't even mention the punter for the first 2 hours and 8 minutes. But no, I mean, he was, in all seriousness, he was drilling punts.
We barely mentioned the Phillies in the first 2 hours, 8 minutes.
Who?
On purpose.
There's some guy on YouTube who keeps commenting. Are you going to rip the Phillies? No.
We already did. I read
that. Yeah, we gave them the 8 minutes they deserved, and we moved on.
By the way, a happy night. Young Sheldon joins the Big Bang Theory on PHL 17. Weeknights at 7 and 9:30, starting September 27th. Family night every night is on PHL 17, so you can get in on that. We will have Zach Berman from The Athletic joining us coming up. I want to say right off the bat, Jimmy Stewart... I don't know if that's his real name or not, on our YouTube chat. Jimmy, I noticed at the break, you said you don't have tickets yet to FanFest. Jimmy Stewart, call in right now. Connor will take your call at 610-632-0975. You're one of our loyal listeners. You are a guy who gets involved in the discussion. If you want to come to FanFest, we want to see you there. Call Connor at 610-632-0975, Jimmy, and we will get you FanFest tickets to make sure that you're ready to go. We have it now. Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline. You know, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Zach Berman keeps you connected to your Philadelphia Eagles through The Athletic every single week, before, after games, and now he's part of the John Kincaid Show family every single day after an Eagles, hopefully, victory, Zach. I don't know how many you can guarantee us, but that was a pretty, pretty nice day yesterday, if we say so ourselves.
Absolutely, and an impressive win. And in honor of you, I'm talking to you coming back from Atlanta, right? So it's only fitting. But it's not the Monday morning that I expected, to be honest with you, when I came down here. But very impressed with the way they came out. Very impressed with the level of preparation. Very impressed with the juice, if you will, that they played with. And it's certainly a good start to the Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts era.
What was the thing that most shocked you
about yesterday's performance?
The efficiency, right? And that was my big question about Jalen Hurts going into the season. He was a 52% passer last year. There were times during training camp when the ball was on the ground just too often. And I thought you would see dynamic plays. I didn't know if you would see the play-to-play consistency of the offense. So that really jumped out. He was a 77% passer. It's a credit to Hurts. It's also a credit to Sirianni because of the game plan. It was a lot of quick action. They did a good job with the RPOs. And really, Jalen Hurts played within himself. The offense was prepared for a defense that they weren't quite sure what it was going to look like. So that's what jumped out to me, the efficiency of the offense.
Zach, it was hard to tell on the television to me, but in the first two series, Atlanta goes up and down the field. Granted, it only ends in field goals, but what did Jonathan Gannon do as far as adjustments that made that go away pretty quickly?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing to me was third down defense number one, right? The Falcons converted three third downs on the day, and two of those third downs came on the first drive. So the third down defense, but really it was their run fits started getting a little better, and they just cleaned up things on the back end. And then once they were able to take the lead, that pass rush was getting home. You saw that in the second half. But Jonathan Gannon, from that first drive to really the end of the first half and into the third quarter, was seeing what the Falcons were doing. They weren't really falling for the play action. It helped a bit that the Falcons had some penalties that nullified first downs, but what jumped out to me was third down defense, and that's especially important when you consider the way they looked in the preseason. They were the worst third down defense in the NFL in the preseason. On that first drive, I was wondering, you know, was it the fact that they weren't game planning, or is this a bad third down defense? And then when they cleaned that up, it made such a difference.
Zach, it's Jamie here. Sirianni stressed it in the post-game press conference. Jalen Hurts has talked about it a lot. There seems to be a camaraderie that's being stressed, and the importance in the locker room. Now, I don't know if you guys are – I believe you are allowed in locker rooms now post-game. I tuned into Jalen Reagor's post-game locker room celebration. It does feel a lot different than last year. Can you kind of talk to what Sirianni is stressing here?
Yeah, so Sirianni, from the time that he got here, right, he introduced five core values to the team, and the first one was connection. And it sounds kind of hokey in a Ted Lasso kind of way, but it makes sense when you're around these guys. Like, they genuinely like each other. They genuinely.
Oh, we lost you for a second there, Zach.
We lost you for a second.
Oh. Yeah, Zach Ertz, who's a 9-year veteran, Zach Ertz says that this is the most fun he's had coming to work in a long time. And that part of it is infectious. The fact that these guys really enjoy each other. Nick Sirianni, when he spoke to the team the first week, he said that the post-game locker room, it's different when you have that connection. And you're seeing it. This was probably the most fun that the team has had in about a year and a half, 2 years. They didn't have now we're not in the locker room after the game.
Whoa.
And picking up the vibe, this is the most fun they've had in about 2 years.
Zach, one of the things that was a problem yesterday was all the unforced errors, and by so many veteran players. Was anything, any vibe from the veterans that maybe they did need a little bit of practice in the preseason, in actual game action?
That's a fair question. The penalties were a problem. I didn't get that impression from them that they thought it was because they did not that they did not play in the preseason. The sense that I got is they were actually happy with the preseason approach because it kept them fresh. You know, they were healthier going into week one than they've been in quite some time. But it's hard to have those types of penalties on a week-to-week basis and be the type of team they're going to want to be. So I would definitely say that that is something to watch going forward here.
Zach, after the first two series, Sirianni went over to the defense and had some pretty choice words, it seemed like, on the sideline. he's gained already enough cred among his players that going over and doing something like that is going to be a good thing for this team?
He doesn't mind hard coaching. You saw that during training camp. He got on Jalen Reagor. They believe in you know, being hands-on. They believe in teaching. So certainly I think he has the credibility in that he's consistent. Nick Sirianni, from when he started to now, like he's not putting on a show, and the players see that. So if there's something to be called out on, he'll call them out on it. But I don't think that's something that catches this team off guard. It would catch this team off guard if he wasn't like that on a day-to-day basis. But I keep bringing up that Reagor example during training camp because he was that way during camp. And then when Reagor had a good play, he was there too. So I think the consistency from Sirianni, and Brandon Graham said it, he's been the same way since day one. So I don't think they mind that based on what they've seen.
Being in the South, Zach, for 20-some years, I saw a lot of Nick Saban press conferences. And every time I hear Jalen Hurts speak, every time I hear Devontae Smith speak, I hear Nick Saban. I hear the coaching they got. I hear the where you credit the moment, but you talk about what you need to work on. These two young men are very impressive building blocks for a franchise that needs some credibility.
No, that's a good point. And look, this is how Jalen Hurts is going to speak. I spent about 20 minutes on the phone with him last week talking about just what you're saying, right? The way he's thinking, the way he's trying to learn, but it does come from that Saban school. It's also, he's the son of a coach, similar to Sirianni, but he's the son of a coach. He very much wants to embrace the process. I know that word can be controversial at times in Philly, but embrace the process and try to build from each week. And I'll say last season, Jalen Hurts was not a consistent enough quarterback. And we're only one game into this year, so I don't know if this is how he's going to look against San Francisco next week. But if he's a 70%+ passer and he could run the ball the way he does, good things are going to happen for the Eagles.
Yeah, and you know he answered the bell in the second half, which he didn't do last year, to your point, Zach, which is really encouraging. Something that stood out to me yesterday was an effective screen game. The screen game last year was atrocious. Probably a lot of that had to do with the health of the offensive line. In your opinion, is this strictly the offensive line being healthy and back out there? Is it an upgrade at personnel on the wide receivers? Is it a better play design? Or is it just, frankly, a combination of all three of those things?
Yeah, I think it's a new scheme, right? It's a new quarterback. Hurts, or in Carson Wentz's case, they were effective in the screen game back in 2017. Not as effective, obviously, in 2020. But it is something that was a big emphasis during training camp, right? They didn't practice long, but if you watch the plays that they wrecked, it was the screen game was a major emphasis. They wanted to get the ball to wide receivers to run after the catch. They want to use their running backs. They want to use their tight ends. I don't think this was a game plan specific thing. I think you're going to see the screen game prominently going forward.
Zach, we got so much done with you in like 10 minutes. I want you to be safe on the roadways there, though. Be really safe, man.
No, I am off the road. I wanted to make sure I was in a quiet spot here.
But you're awesome,
I'm looking
man.
Forward to I'm looking forward to the coming weeks, guys.
By the way, the investment in The Athletic and your coverage is well worth it. Everybody,
absolutely.
Subscribe to The Athletic and check it out. It's great stuff. Zach, we welcome you into the family, and I know you're going to be joining Anthony during the week, too, so this will be a great chance for people to be able to get more of your content. Great job today, Zach.
I appreciate it. Look forward to next week.
There you go. Thanks, Zach Berman joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. He got so much done in 10 minutes.
Wait a second. He's not driving back from Atlanta, is he?
No, he's driving to the airport, driving to Hartsfield.
Oh, okay.
So he's heading down to Hartsfield.
Shoo.
Hartsfield, LaToya Jackson International Airport. I don't know. They started adding names to it.
I don't think I've flown into any airport besides Philadelphia as much as I have Atlanta.
My wife hates that airport.
It's too big.
She cannot wait to move.
Yeah.
I told you today, she's going to do 95 flooring it.
Well, she's up here today. She's going to see us at our best because the Eagles won.
She said it's
a victory Monday.
She said they've just pushed back in the flight, and she said it is the loudest flight she's ever been on. And it's 8:20 on a Monday morning.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And she said, and the gentlemen who are on business trips are looking annoyed because they must be Falcon fans. Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. She said two people have already asked, will there be serving on the flight?
Hair of the dog.
She said, seriously, these people, it's so loud on the flight. And she said the businessmen are very annoyed.
That's great.
Because they're Falcon fans. They're annoyed.
Well, it's their fault.
She hasn't heard an Eagles chant yet, but...
Don't root for a dumb team. Man.
It's early. Michael and Chuck, we will try to fit you in, too, coming up. We appreciate you being a part of things. It is a victory Monday. It is a joyous Monday. Hope you like Zach Berman. He'll be with us all season long as part of our coverage. It's the John Kincaid Show. A spectacular Monday. The Eagles are 1-0. Let's see how many Mondays we have like this all season long here on The Fanatic. There is nothing like the home team. Nothing like Birds Pro Football and college football. I go with home team for sports betting too, and that's the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Parks Casino is out $22 today after the first Sunday because I was a winner. Based right here in the Delaware Valley, the Parks Sportsbook is the home team. I recommend it to you. I might not be bragging as much on Monday mornings, and $22, what am I bragging about? But you know what? It's fun. It engages you. You get to use a little of your expertise. Individual player performances paid off yesterday. I did the Jalen Hurts. Number of touchdowns was over 1.5. I did the Miles Sanders. Total combined yards, over. Again, both of them hit. You can bet on individual player performances and more. And they got a free $50 sports book bet for you for a limited time with no deposit required. Download the app in the App Store or go to parkscasino.com/PA. It's a limited time offer for new customers only. A free $50 sports bet. How about using it on Monday Night Football tonight? You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's home opener week. It's Fan Fest week. And it's a football Monday on The Fanatic. And it's brought to you by Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for flexible spending options on a new heating and cooling system. You will absolutely love it. And every single week I just summarize it. And I'll just summarize it like this. And it's a what we will call the verdict from me. And it's a, I don't care if you're a rookie coach or a veteran coach. The verdict is you would absolutely love a domination like that one. I don't care if it's your first game in the NFL or your debuting your seventh season. A domination like that tells you your team has that dog in them that Jalen Hurts talks about. It had a four-quarter mentality, which is what really, really made me smile. But also, too, my verdict from yesterday was the fact that the Eagles played four quarters of football. So many times, up by two scores in a fourth quarter, what did we see with Jim Schwartz's defense? We saw them get soft. The Eagles didn't get soft. They went after the Falcons. They attacked. They stayed in attack mode. Again, Atlanta sucks. Terrible. They're not going to be a good football team. But the Eagles didn't have a lot of expectations on their shoulders for the season. So what an excellent way to start the year. So my verdict, four quarters of football, not losing sight of attack. That was a breath of fresh air for me.
And that's where, Bob, that's my biggest takeaway is they didn't in any way let their foot off the gas pedal defensively.
Yeah.
They attacked.
It got ugly there for about an 8-minute stretch between both teams where penalties were everywhere. And every time there seemed to be some momentum, it was taken away because you saw another flag. And it got to be really ugly football. I want to say like early second to mid second, maybe late second. It was ugly there for a little while. But I didn't lose that sort of momentum feeling that the Eagles had. You know, I don't think the team lost it. Watching it as an observer, I didn't feel like they were losing anything. They were making some dumb penalties and all that, but it wasn't dumb football. It was a really solid day yesterday. I mean, I really have trouble coming out of it not saying good things.
Yeah, the point about the momentum is one I noticed in game. Like, and I don't mean this to be a shot at Doug, but sometimes if they got up a little bit in the last 2 years, not the Super Bowl year because they were just destroying teams, there seemed to be like a change in game plan, whether conscious or subconscious by him. They kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit. And last year we didn't see a lot of opportunities for that to happen. But the year before I started to notice like things would change a little bit and they would rest on their laurels, to use that old cliche, or not ramp it up. Yesterday just seemed consistent throughout. They had the lead. They were dominating in the trenches, but nothing seemed to change. It just seemed to have a good flow to the game, both offensively and defensively.
I know that, Pat, you were most smiling about that because it had to be ringing in your ears in the fourth quarter. So many times, up 2 scores, they got soft and started to play that prevent, and yesterday they played attack.
Thank you yes. So much, Jonathan Gannon. Seriously, it was so refreshing to see them go after the quarterback and take advantage of an offensive line that was a little banged up and especially a left guard that looked terrified to be there. And you all knew that it was passing down. Like, everyone knew it was a passing down. They established they could stop the run, so they were able to actually play the way they should as opposed to last year when you're right, it would be prevent sticks. Like, that crap's gone. Thank God that they were able to go after a statue of a quarterback. Like, that's what you'd expect an NFL team to do, and they did it.
Bravo to our YouTube community going nuts this morning, and so many of you welcomed in to the 97.5 The Fanatic YouTube crew, the group, having a record morning this morning. A lot of people jumping on board and checking on out. We love you. I checked out some of the comments before. There's one that confused me, though. Dustin says,
that's a win. Only one?
Lots of backtracking on Nick Sirianni. I didn't hear anybody backtracking on Nick Sirianni.
I didn't know anything about him until they...
Yeah, I tweeted out yesterday before the game. I was like, you know, Jalen and Devontae, they're exciting and all, but I'm equally as excited to see what Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon have in store for us.
I said he was probably the best coach in the history of the game.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I think
to his point, though,
he's talking about the press conference.
He's not talking about... I don't think necessarily us, and he'll clarify, but right. It was, you know, after that initial press conference, it was a lot of, oh my God, they hired the wrong guy. This guy's an idiot.
As we talked about it over the summer, is that as soon as I saw him talk at training camp, I knew the first press conference was just, he wasn't coached up for it because he's great talking behind a microphone when he's talking about the game.
Guy just likes ball.
Hey, the reach around the NFC East is coming with Jamie Lynch. Woo. That gets people fired up. But Michael in Baltimore's been holding on. Michael, you're on the Fanatic. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's up? Happy Victory Monday.
It is beautiful, is it not?
it's such a good feeling to see excitement on that sideline. You know, I'm so excited for this next game. And I want to look at the game from two different perspectives. One, like a more like kind of corny fan perspective, one like a more technical way. From the corny fan perspective, and I had the same reaction that you guys had after the press conference. You're kind of nervous, and then once you see Sirianni in camp talk, you're like, oh no, this guy's cool. This guy's cool. One thing that he did right away, just me being the fan, I can see this from the outside, is he wanted to connect with the players. And you could tell that right away. In camp, he would alternate shirts with actual players' faces and names on it. He wore like a for the win shirt with our kicker on it. He wore a Lane Johnson shirt. He wore a Brandon Graham shirt, a Let Boobie Spin
shirt.
Well,
connection was what he was all about. It was a cornerstone of making that connection. We heard from Zach Berman.
Yeah,
one of the keys.
It's a tough thing to do. You know, when you really set out, and I'm not saying Sirianni did this, but if you set out to make a connection, a lot of times you just try too hard and it doesn't work.
Or it's contrived.
Yeah, and guys have to be able to read it and have to be able to come up with their own decision on it. And he seems to have gotten his players to buy in.
Yeah, it's funny Zach said, Ted Lasso feel, but I said that several months ago after one of his first press conferences. I was like, he feels like a real-life Ted Lasso. And, you know, they just got to slap that believe sign up in the locker room and they're there.
Chuck in North Carolina joins us on the Fanatic. Chuck, Victory Monday is pretty good, isn't it?
I just want to say thank you, Brandon Graham, for a nice Sunday win.
Thank you, 975.
And to make FanFest, do you know how awesome FanFest is going to be because they won?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. It's going to be electric. It's all the buzz. Everybody's just – and Devontae Smith just looked everything he was advertised. But I'll tell you, I was telling Connor, number one thing I saw, blocking and awareness. The awareness on this team was just unbelievable. Everybody, I know they make stupid penalties, that's whatever. But the awareness, they knew where everything, Jason Kelce got all the way to the corner. What he hit three people on that one play?
It was the kind of, Dan, Chuck, we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend.
He had three blocks, and Miles Sanders put a tweet out. I think PFF Eagles put out a tweet saying it's going to suck when Jason Kelce retires. Miles Sanders quote tweeted and said, I don't want him to.
See?
Because he hit three guys on that play. Three.
It's a beast.
That was so much. And then Maialata getting out on the screenplay to Jalen Reagor. You're talking about a 6'8", 360-pound man running.
Imagine that coming at you.
At a quarterback.
My buddy Brian Fennerin saying that there should be an arrest warrant.
The rhino's loose. It's out of the cage.
Arrest warrant for Jordan Maialata that he wasn't allowed to get on the flight. God. Brandon in Hanover joins us on the Fanatic. Brandon, welcome to Victory Monday on the John Kincaid Show.
Yeah, great, guys. I love hearing you all.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts. Hear you guys comment. Not so much on the result, but look, I really like the reads he made, and I think we can be encouraged moving forward. Like you said, Atlanta sucks. We can all agree with that whole deal. But moving forward, no matter who you're playing, you want your leader to not just make good reads, but then to be able to decide when to run. How many times in the last few years has the quarterback that we had ran and tried to take on the world, take on a tackler, not slide, not get out of bounds like he should have, and therefore...
It's refreshing, but I think the difference is, Brandon, and again, Carson Wentz was big fish, little pond, and Jalen Hurts was little fish, huge pond.
Yeah.
And so there's a mentality, I think... He was coached much better in college. He was coached by Nick Saban.
He was coached to be a pro.
And Lincoln Riley.
That's what they are. They're a professional factory.
North Dakota State, none of those guys are being talked about for NFL jobs or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's a difference, I think. And I'm trying to give Carson a little bit of nod there. He was learning in the NFL a level of coaching these guys have already gotten in college.
Look at the simplicity and the awareness that Jalen Hurts used in the pocket yesterday. There was a couple times where there were guys at his feet that it was just a little hop step away. It wasn't anything major where he had to turn his back on the play and roll around or whatever. It just seemed so ordinary to him and something that he was so accustomed to and kept his feet where they needed to be and was able to make good, strong throws all the time. That was, I think, the way his feet were always set was what impressed me most yesterday.
It is time. You wait for it every single week on the show a couple times. It's the reach around.
Let's do a reach around of the NFC East.
That's what Mondays are all about. Let's reach around the division and see how everybody fared this weekend.
How did they do, Jamie?
I'll take balls out of Jamie's mouth. I think it's fair to say right now, and I don't think this is even a hot take, Jalen Hurts is the second best quarterback in the division. Because yesterday in Washington, unfortunately for them, Ryan Fitzpatrick suffered a hip subluxation, which is basically a dislocated hip. Now, he'll be able to return, I believe, this year, but he's going to miss several weeks as he's got to get that thing back to health. Taylor Heinicke came in and took over the game, but Washington went down to the Los Angeles, don't call me San Diego, Chargers. Justin Herbert, he's the real deal. Keenan Allen, another 100-yard game.
He's a phenomenal wide receiver. It was, you know, it was a good game. It was close. That Washington defense is going to keep them in games for sure. Chase Young is an absolute monster for them. That entire defensive line is no joke at all. But the real story of the game yesterday might have been the sewage pipe that bursted in the upper level and rained down.
See that poo-poo water?
The doo-doo water came and raining down. It might be a euphemism for their season at this point.
For the last 3 decades of Washington football.
I've been to that stadium more than any other because I went to school down there, and I, you know, we have an annual with our friends where we usually go down. That stadium sucks. And to see a raw sewage pipe.
Why does it suck?
It's just
generic?
Generic, awful colors, just like poorly constructed. It's old at this point. The parking lots getting in and out sucks. Everything about it sucks.
The parking costs more than the ticket to the game.
What's it, $50?
Whatever it is, when I went on StubHub,
it's a lot.
You get tickets for $20, and then parking was like $40 to $60.
You could have gotten in yesterday, by the way, for $22.
That's my point. Like, the ticket to the game will be cheaper than parking because parking is such a crap show there.
You can't get into an Eagles game for $22 ever, right?
No.
No.
You can't get to a preseason game for $22.
Yeah, you'd be lucky.
Wow.
Maybe the Boston College Golden Eagles when they take on
Well, it's $12.
Temple.
It's kids' tickets are $12.
Is there any fault? So okay, I'll have to shave.
You can sneak
I'll
in.
I'll have
pass.
To shave.
Yeah. So 0-1 for Washington football team starting out the year, and that's a scary proposition, losing your quarterback week one. They're going to face off Thursday night football against the New York Giants
so
in primetime.
So one of them starts 0-2.
Yep.
That's
one of them awesome. Is guaranteed to be 0-2. Speaking of those New York Giants, they went down to the Denver Broncos 27-13 yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater kind of stole the headlines away from the return of Saquon Barkley. He was on a bit of a pitch count yesterday. He only got 10 carries, I think one or two in the passing game. So not a lot of touches as they ease him back into a heavy workload. Daniel Jones, he stinks. This is year three of him. This is when you can start to really formulate your opinions on him. And his turnover issue is not going anywhere. He lost another fumble yesterday, which brings him to 32 career turnovers in 28 games.
That's incredible.
That is not a formula to win football games. You cannot give the ball back and expect to win in the NFL.
He's got that dopey look to him, too. Because I know he's a smart kid. He went to Duke.
Sure.
I mean, he's just has that glazed over.
Yeah.
Nonchalant look like nothing. Like, I don't. Am I here? Did what happened?
There
I
must be something in the quarterback room up in the New York Giants because Eli had.
Yeah,
well, Eli had that look a lot too.
Eli had bitter beer face.
Yeah,
I always thought.
Yeah, so you know their first round pick, Kadarius Toney, wide receiver from the University of Florida. He saved the day with a stellar stat line. Did you catch his stat line?
What did he do?
2 catches, minus 2 yards. So big impact there from their rookie. You know, Giants fans were extremely butthurt that the Eagles landed Devontae Smith. Big loss yesterday for the Broncos, though, and another Alabama wideout who looked primed to take a big jump this year with a quarterback. Jerry Jeudy went down on what looked like to be a pretty nasty play where his leg and ankle got caught up under two tacklers.
It was gross.
It looked like his season was over, but the good news is it's only a high ankle sprain.
I can't believe it because I thought he was.
Yeah.
I thought it was snapped.
Yeah, so did I. So, you know, maybe 6 weeks or so for him, but he had a good day before he went off. And again, they're going to face Washington on Thursday night. It's going to be a great one. Somebody in the NFC East is going 0-2. And then, of course, Dallas, we all know how they fared last Thursday against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
And Dallas has a trip to...
They have the Chargers at 4:25 on, I believe, Fox Game of the Week.
In L.A., right?
In L.A., coming up this weekend. If they're able to go 0-2... And you can sneak out a Niners win.
Well. Let's not get ahead of them.
Pants are coming off, John. It's going to be party time here in the NFC.
Why do the pants have to come off?
Keep it in your pants.
Oh, my God. Keep the
pants. Well, this is the reach around, Bob.
Stop
I'm going to expose myself.
You can't
do a reach around with your pants on, you weirdo.
What do you expect in the reach around? There you go.
A level of maturity and football analysis.
Either Washington or the Giants will be 0-2.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you see the story, by the way, about the extortion that's going on with the Washington football team?
No.
They are being extorted by somebody bought up every single one of the nicknames.
Yeah, I love this.
And they're not being extorted.
No, they're being extorted because they're saying, they're going, How much do you want? But they're not. Here's what I don't think.
This just shows you how dumb they are.
I don't think that's extortion.
Here it is. Why? Is I don't believe you should be able to squat. I believe you should have to be with something like that. Someone could say, johnkincaid.com. By the way, I don't want it. I got enough for form. And somebody should be able to, if you're John Kincaid, you should be able to say, hey, I'd like to have that. Well, somebody's held it for 4 years.
You can be johnkincaid.net.
And go,
no, and he can have
exactly,
.com.
Exactly. They're being just, though,
but,
the same little conglomerate of people.
But this is how dumb they are. They knew they were changing names. Somebody in that organization had to realize this.
How did they know all the different options, though? One person put 38 options.
It's not hard to figure out, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of them leaked, like, people were guessing. I don't think this is extortion at all. This is supply and demand. This is a smart investment.
I think this guy's an American hero.
Red
I hope he gets rich.
Nice. Red Wolves is not.
I like the Red Hogs.
They're not going to do
that. I hate
that
one.
They can't do that one.
I just like the Hogs.
The Hogs, though, nobody under the age of 30 knows who the Hogs are.
I just think it's funny.
I know, but it used to be, they used to have the guys that dressed up in dresses.
Beat the Hogs twice a year?
Oh,
I mean, come on.
Stupid. Hey, the Lowe's Pro Team is here for you.
What are you guys talking about?
They've got all the necessities to get your neighborhoods back up and running. Go to your nearest Lowe's or get supplies 24/7 at Lowe's.com while supplies last. U.S. only. YouTube folks, you're blowing up this morning. And by the way, Dustin, I didn't say you said, Dustin's like, when did I say that you said that I said? I didn't say
what?
That you said I said it. I'm just asking, you saying a lot of backtracking going on in Nick Sirianni. I don't know. I didn't hear anybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't hear anybody saying this guy's a terrible football coach.
We didn't know anything about him. How could anybody say
and
that?
And I didn't say that you said, Dustin, I didn't say you said that I said it.
He said, she said, you said, I said.
There were a lot of people who were out on him after one press conference.
Sure.
I don't know.
Immediately they were like, well, this guy sucks.
Pat, I know there were a lot of people who were out on him about the press conference.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who was saying, well, he's a terrible football coach because of it.
Well, I think when you say
any of that.
I think when you say I'm out on a guy, you're not.
No, you're out on that press conference.
You're like, I'm out on this guy.
That was a stupid press conference. And guess what? I'm glad, I'm thrilled that he acknowledged it to his team.
Yeah.
And, like, I got to get better at this.
Yeah. By the way, just thought popped in my head. If Washington football team was to call you about the availability of one Joe Flacco or Gardner Minshew, would you take that call?
I'll drive Joe down to Landover. It's Landover, Maryland. Right?
Yep. Well, who's worth more? Minshew's worth more to them.
What do you think you're going to get? You traded Minshew for a sixth.
If they offered a fourth, I'm listening.
No, I'm not. I want him as the backup. I want him as a security blanket. No question. You want Joe Flacco? I'll drive him down.
Would you rather have a fourth or a sixth? Just hypothetically.
I'll take I do not want any way do I want Minshew gone.
Okay.
Under any circumstance.
But this is why it was great. It was a great move to get him for a 6th-round pick.
Absolutely.
Because quarterback injuries happen every week.
They certainly do. And who would have ever thought that Ryan Fitzpatrick may not be able to go 17 games?
I didn't think it was going to be injury related. He's been a pretty healthy guy,
yeah,
isn't
but
he?
Still, though, he always gets something.
Yeah, but that's his play that takes him out of games more than his health.
Now, to me, though, he's fun, but he's total shtick.
Yeah.
And it's fun, though.
Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's shtick.
It's fun for 4 or 5 game stretch.
Correct.
You can't hold on to that for a longer than that.
So who do we want? I don't know about you, but I want Washington 0-2.
Yeah, I want New York Giants to win on Thursday.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Giants stink.
They're both going to be 0-1-1.
You think
you're going to go for the
tie?
Like
get
out on your sports book and make a bet on that then.
Yeah.
All right, we have 1 hour to go on this Victory Monday. It is a fantastic football Monday on the Fanatic. We thank our friends at Pierce Phelps, Bryan Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit NoPayBryant.com. Flexible spending options on your new heating and cooling system. You may need one this winter, so make sure you're in on that one. I'm telling you all, back off. He's mine. It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. You can trust Meineke to get your car ready to go because in the fall, you're going to be having football road trips. You're going to be going to family events. You got back to school. And right now, you get a free tire rotation when you purchase a $29.95 conventional synthetic oil change at your local Meineke. You can rely on Meineke for maintenance, brake service, tires, suspension systems, and more. Head to Meineke right now for that free check engine light scan. It is absolutely awesome.
And you can receive 50% off brake pads and shoes right now. That is a spectacular deal. It's the best customer service, commitment, value with Meineke. You know your local independently owned Meineke dealership. They're right there in your neighborhood. And if you want a job right now, they're hiring. Visit Meineke.com/careers and get more details. Or call your local Meineke center today. Get your car ready for the fall and the winter ahead at your local Meineke. And tell them John Kincaid was the one who pointed you in their direction.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Our 9 a.m. hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. You can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For more details, go to bagster.com. I think I'm so excited on my first Eagles Monday after a victory, season opening victory here doing the show. I had to go to Pat and ask for Tums. I don't ever do that.
You don't take Tums? I don't take
ever.
Any.
Yeah. My wife will take them. I do not. But I had to take them. I had like a acid reflux or something.
Maybe you're pregnant.
I don't think so.
My possible. My
even
wife had
I
to take them all the time.
The trainer may have asked me the other day.
My wife's currently on Gaviscon like every day because of the heartburn. So maybe you are pregnant.
They
John.
Say hairy.
Are you peeing more than regular?
No, but I pee like a good racehorse.
Mm-hmm.
Drink lots of water.
Like Barbaro?
He's very dead. Similar.
He's a dead. Barbaro is. Rest in peace. By the way, Adam Schefter flexing this morning.
He's saying,
tell John to get my Philadelphia food package ready.
My name's Adam.
Hey, Adam, you need six more wins for that?
It's not bad.
Let's chill.
Come on, man.
That's the easiest road game you will play all year.
The Giants could be easier.
Put it in perspective. They won't be easier than playing the Falcons. A divisional road game is never going to be easier.
I hear you, but they suck.
Going into the Arthur Blank's Mall down in Atlanta.
Wouldn't it suck if Washington comes in here and beats the Eagles with Nick Foles at quarterback? That's somebody they might actually go make a call on this morning.
I'd be fine. Nick Foles will fail in Washington.
I don't want to see him in that gross uniform.
I don't want to see him there either, but he'll fail in Washington.
Yeah?
Yes. Okay. He will fail there.
Yeah,
that would be the problem.
He is who he is. I mean,
he's great here, though. He's been good for us.
Yes, he was.
Let's go. I want to tell all you right now, remember, he's mine. Back off. I saw him first. I have been completely obsessed with Jonathan Gannon since his arrival. I've read every single detail about him as a coach. I've watched every press conference. I'm obsessed with Gannon. He's done nothing to stop the beating of my thirsty heart on this Monday morning. I'm thinking, though, a flower delivery may be a little too much this afternoon. I'm figuring that there'll be a restraining order if I do. I'm going to play it cool. But damn, I do not want to. I loved the defensive intensity yesterday. I loved the fourth quarter, turn up the heat, not play it safe. You give up 6 points in any road game, and you completely delivered. I loved how they withstood the first two series of the game and then turned it in and made adjustments to get to a huge success. Now, again, I do not think the Falcons are any good. I believe they are a terrible football team. But the Eagles yesterday looked to be in an entirely different class than Atlanta. And that in and of itself means maybe they can ascend a little bit on the ladder. And that's where we begin the final hour of this Monday edition of the John Kincaid Show with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan back from vacation, the coach, Eric Camille. We've got Mike,
orchestrating a great YouTube broadcast today, and we appreciate so many checking out YouTube today. Make sure you check out 97.5 The Fanatic's YouTube channel. And by the way, you can go back and watch any part of the show you miss any day later on in the day. We have a lot of people to go back and visit. And of course, Connor Thomas is taking your phone calls. And if you really have not gotten tickets to FanFest yet and you want to be there, I bet Connor's going to hook you up. Bet you he is. Call 610-632-0975. Jonathan Gannon, honestly, I don't think he's going to need a restraining order. But if they're 2-0 next Monday, I think we may go Fatal Attraction here. I may be sitting with my legs crossed. You know, and it's going
to
be.
God, I need a new seat. I got guys taking their pants off to the left of me, guys crossing their legs to the right of me.
What's your problem with that?
I am so impressed.
Need some men in here.
I'm impressed with Jonathan Gannon. Incredibly impressed, and I had been since he arrived.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's one of the things that we talked about, John, and you brought up before, was the diversity thing that he kept bringing up, right? He wants his team to be diverse. I was a little nervous at first, and still am, that it was because he can't find one solid thing, so he's going to try a whole bunch of different things, which is okay, which is fine due to his personnel. But yesterday, here's your breakdown as far as real quick game, percentage of plays played. Fletcher Cox, 57. Hargrave, 56. Sweat, 54. Graham, 50. Kerrigan, 47. Like, you could see, it was almost shuffling in and out on every play. And he kept them fresh. And as you said, in the fourth quarter, when it was time, instead of, like we're used to, sitting back and just giving up time and yardage, he went after it and said, no, screw this, let's end it.
You think he smelled blood in the water and that maybe in a different game, a different venue, he plays it differently? Because
yeah, I do.
Smelled blood in the water.
Yeah, I get the vibe that he's going to change game to game. I mean, the fact that they were going 3-4 defense inside the red zone showed me he has a lot of confidence in the guys up front. I think he's going to roll with the flow, and that's what coaching is. I mean, you know, look, Belichick might be the greatest coach of all time. It might have been all Brady. Who knows? We'll find out more. But he coaches every game like it's that game and that game only. There's no, I have to do this because this. If something works, stick with it until they stop it. If something isn't working, change it. I mean, that's literally coaching. So I think he's a guy that's going to go with the flow of games and do what has to be done week to week.
Jonathan Gannon doesn't look, Pat, like a defensive coordinator. And I don't know if that's something that you can look like a kind of coach you'd expect to be in DC.
He wasn't chewing glass, yeah.
He wasn't wearing aviator sunglasses on the sidelines indoors. So, he didn't look like a defensive coordinator for sure.
I
can't stand
him. You know what, though? I will forever respect Jim Schwartz for being the DC, even though, you know, there were shortcomings that they won a Super Bowl with him. But he drove me crazy, too. So I totally get your. I think it's why I'm so excited about Gannon.
And he because we dealt with 5 years of Jim Schwartz, it makes you appreciate Jonathan Gannon coming in and just having a clue, because he doesn't seem like he's the smartest guy in the room. That was my problem with Jim Schwartz. It was like, well, here's my scheme, and if you don't fit my scheme, then too bad, because we're playing my scheme. And to hear Jonathan Gannon come out and say, look, I don't know what scheme I'm going to play because I don't know what players I have. Like, let's figure this out. Let's work the scheme around the players. It was like a breath of fresh air being thrown into the room. So he did everything that you wanted him to do and have been begging the previous defense coordinator to do for the past couple of years.
It's a attack I love. And I love the idea of don't play it safe for safe's sake. Now, gentlemen here on email, Eddie sends an email in and he says, well, wait a minute, though. You were saying kick a field goal. By the way, it would have been 43 yards, the field goal.
Oh, really?
It would have been 43 yards. A couple of our listeners stepped in.
No, it was a double check, too.
It was 43.
Oh, they were on the 36.
Yeah, but it was...
Do math, Bob.
It's
the
36 and 17.
No, 36.
I think they were at the 20.
Parry the 2.
Yeah, it would have been a 38-yard.
We might be talking about different seats.
But,
please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
I like the fact that they were attacking defensively. Because it just helps create... I think that builds upon itself confidence heading into this week.
Oh, no question. And it's one of the things we talked about last week. not just going in there and playing and hopefully winning a game, but gaining confidence as a young team, as a young coach, as a young defensive coordinator. Yes, they were a bad team yesterday. They were a very bad team, Atlanta was. But you gain confidence in your coaching and your coaching decisions by the way your team executes and what you were able to get done.
I'm so impressed too with, and again, I'm gonna bring up my best friend, Miles Sanders, who last week I fell on the sword and said too hard on Miles Sanders. So I wanted to get that out of the way before the start of the season. And I think Jamie had uplifted his performance. I think he went out with a more confidence knowing Kincaid's not going to be ripping me. And he's totally in my corner because they used him perfectly yesterday.
I thought he was awesome.
He was spectacular.
I mean, even the few instances where the Falcons' line seemed to kind of hole up the gaps, the Eagles' offensive line was able to get a push, and Sanders was able to get a push behind them. It seemed like every run he had was a five-yard gain at least, and there was a couple we talked
about.
Wasn't
that what he did last year, honestly?
Yeah. I mean, he's a really good running back. He has a higher career average per carry than Zeke and Saquon. Like, he almost is underrated by a lot of people. I think he was 3 for 3 in the passing game, so that was good to see. No drops there, because, you know, that's something that can kind of snowball on you. So, you know, you talk about confidence. I think the first reception he had was like a 2-foot dump off. He kind of did the same thing with Jalen Hurts early. Get the confidence snowballing in the right direction. Quick screen hitters to Quez Watkins out there. I think it's the same thing with Sanders. Let's ease him back into the passing game. And I think the guy's a phenomenal running back. I do.
I loved how they went to Quez and then said, oh, you can't stop Quez, and we're going to go to Quez again.
Yeah.
We're going to go in this series, we're going to go to DeVonta' Smith, and we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
And Jalen gets to see that, you know, out of his hand into the receiver's hands. That just snowballs in the right way.
Oh, wait a minute. I want Jalen Reagor to feel like he's contributing. Then we're going to go to Jalen Reagor and get him some touches. It is as if every time the Falcons tried to adjust to something they were doing, they had another card to play and said, okay, and then we're going to keep playing that card till you tell us you can stop it.
And there was a question asked of Nick Sirianni after the in the post game about that, about, oh, you know, you showed a lot today. And he kind of chuckled with that fatherly, you know, yeah, that's just now. Wait till you see. You know, so I think there's plenty more out there. That Zach Ertz play where he underthrew him and he ultimately didn't catch it, but
that was a touchdown if he hits him.
Well, yeah, that was a great, I mean, Olsen called it out because it was a double tight end thing. It was a great, great play design, and it just didn't happen. But I think he's got a lot more of that stuff up his sleeve.
And Olsen knew immediately that it wasn't a catch.
Yeah, he did.
He said, did he catch that ball?
And he did. He did not. Good job by the offense, by the way, to get up there.
I was just going to say that.
And get a playoff. But
and he underthrew
it. Was that the play where Miles Sanders had a huge pickup on a blitz? There was one play where Miles Sanders.
Yes, it was. Yes, because that was.
They looked lost last year, and I don't know if he picks up that blitz. And I'm going to be reading way too much into it because Miles Sanders hasn't been bad in blitz pickup, but that was huge. Like, that set up the entire play.
He was bad last year in blitz pickup.
He was, I mean, everything was bad last year.
But yesterday he was fantastic. But Pat Gainwell, Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah, he looked good. And I mean, he went in that end zone
blocking,
untouched.
Blocking and receiving.
Yeah,
and
I think he had 11 touches.
That was awesome because I had wanted 8 on Friday. 11, they obviously love something about him, and what can they do? They can keep him on the field in passing situations because he can block.
And it more shows that Sirianni had some kind of a preseason plan. As much as we can say he should have played guys this and that, they showed a lot of Boston Scott. And it made me believe, and a lot of, I think, fans believe that I talked to, oh my God, they really have big plans for Boston Scott as the number two. They didn't. I had Gainwell there.
Now, maybe this week?
I don't even know what his role is. Unless he's contributing on special teams somewhere, I'm not seeing. I don't think he's going to be in the cards much. I think he might be more of like, I hate to say it, but like a locker room type of guy.
Could be.
He seems to be loved by everybody, and they didn't want to lose him, I guess. I don't know what his role is, though.
Tonight, Inside the Birds, Mosher and Kaplan, tonight at 6, right after the Mike Messinelli show, leading you up to Devon Gibbons. Keep the football fever going this Monday. We kick off Fan Fest week and Eagles home opener week. This is going to be a lot of fun this week here on the Fanatic. Did you ever do something like the Good Citizenship Award? You do something good and you say to yourself, hopefully the good karma is going to boomerang.
I don't do very many good things.
Well, so the other day I'm up at our friends at Dick's Sporting Goods up in King of Prussia, great store. And they make you wait to go into the dressing room. So I go into the dressing room, I'm taking, looking at some golf
shirts. Keep it in your pants.
And other things. And I walk in and there is a pair of high-end sunglasses.
Yeah, I'll bang that.
Hanging with like a high-end strap from one of the hooks. Whoever had been in there was maybe with this. The guy looked like Lane Johnson, who had been in the dressing room that I followed him in. So I'm like, these got to be his. So I tried on the shirt, came outside, found him. He listens to another radio show.
Shame.
80% of the time.
Shame.
So if that gentleman.
Shame.
With his really very attractive female accompaniment the other day. If.
Shame.
If he is still listening to that other show, I asked him for 50% of his time. He said we probably get 20% of his time. He knew who I was when I came up to him. And I said, look, I want 50% of your time. Hopefully he's a man of his word, because the sunglasses, I looked later, like $220.
What were they, Maui Jims?
Who buys $220 sunglasses?
My last pair that I contributed to.
I do.
Well, Jamie. There was a gift to me, but they were.
It's always something with Jamie.
For my last 22 pair.
They were birthday gifts. They were like $175 sunglasses.
Seriously.
So that's why I was extra pissed off. They went into the Atlantic.
Hey, switch up your routine with Wawa's delicious and crunchy breakfast and lunch paninis. Choose your favorite, like Southwest Turkey or a Chipotle bacon egg panini, available at Wawa. He said his father also is a partial listener. If he didn't follow through on this, those are going to snap. They're going to snap like a twig. He's going to break an arm or something. Let's hear some of our jury deliberations. From Pat, from our jury, let's hear what they got to say.
It's the John Kincaid Show's inaugural Birds Jury of 12. Now, let's head to the courtroom.
All right, which one of you guys said Chris Miller?
Is that Chris from Yardley?
Jamie, yeah.
I forget his last name.
No.
Chris Miller's you.
Chris is one of mine.
Yeah.
John.
Chris Smith. Okay,
I hope he's good.
As Coach yells at me, it's John. So, John, this is yours.
This is Chris, jury number 5. I'll say this. A win is a win. The team looked motivated and inspired to play. My main question is, was an offensive game plan to dink and dunk everything mostly be within 2 yards of line of scrimmage, or is Hurst that limited? It seemed like everything was short and to the right side. Defensively, the run game was awful, but I believe when Eagles got a lead, the Falcons' offense became predictable and overwhelmed.
All right, I didn't think the run game was awful by any stretch, so I'm a little concerned about that one. And also, too, if you knew Nick Sirianni and what they like to do, the short passing game, the dink and dunking run after the catch is going to be a big part of the rotation.
Absolutely. And look, for
that's
a guy
what
like
they want to do.
A guy like Jalen Reagor, that might be the right thing to do. Get the ball in his hands and let him get some blocks ahead of him and try and make a play. It might be that case for a lot of players. We'll find out.
Sanders and Gainwell impressed the hell out of me.
The run game was awful. Was he talking about the Eagles or the Atlanta?
I think it was the fact that the run defense maybe he meant. Was awful.
I don't hear because the run offense was really good.
Let's hope that was just a little bump in the road.
Let's go to Bob's juror, Ken.
This is Ken Roberg, juror. The early verdict is in, and the Birds look primed for success. What a breath of fresh air this game was after that disastrous last season. As opposed to Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts demonstrated poise, protection of the football. He took what the defense gave him, and he took no unnecessary sacks. That combined with the coaches not wasting timeouts and the dominant defensive line, I can't wait for next Sunday. Go Birds!
See that?
You hired a good one.
My guys just speak truth. First Alyssa, now this. I mean, it's like, is there a better jury in this country? I think not.
If I ever get arrested for something, maybe I'll make a phone call.
Yeah,
good.
Ken Roberg.
I'm
following
along. It's in the workplace,
or Alyssa Basco.
I'm calling Martin Law if it's in the workplace, though.
Yeah.
Got to make sure of that.
I think Jamie's going to be calling Martin Law later. Anyway, let's go to the final one. We have Allie, who is John's juror.
There you go, Allie.
Hey, Allie from Roxborough here. Just want to say that I'm so happy about that win. It felt like such a great team effort. You know, it's hard to really complain, especially when you prevent the other team from even scoring a touchdown. That being said, still not in love with us going for it on fourth down, especially fourth and four in the first quarter. I mean, what was that? Anyway, can't wait for game two. Thanks, guys, and go Birds.
I understand where Allie's apprehension's coming from.
I thought there was times yesterday that screamed a little bit of Doug Peterson administration, a little cutesy, like not kicking a field goal and going up by 12. But like she said, I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Yeah. That can be questioned. There was one time during the game where I was like, come on, let's run the ball just a little bit more if you're the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I thought it got a little, I don't want to say pass happy, but there might have been a span of seven plays where they went 6-1, and I was just like, come on, Eagles, come you need on, to run balance. The ball.
Well, yeah. He might have seen the offensive line. I looked up the stats earlier this morning. They had Jalen Hurts had the fourth most amount of time on passing plays in the entire NFL last week. And that just shows you what a great offensive line can do, and they're back. As long as they stay healthy, this offensive line is going to maul people.
Well, and think about it, too. If, God forbid, they don't stay healthy, Landon Dickerson is sitting there waiting to get on the field. Like, their worst offensive lineman was Isaac Seumalo yesterday, okay, probably. And
here's what I've been told about Seumalo, though, is that it's not as easy for Dickerson to slide in for him as we might think.
Okay.
That it's... like, it's not just going to be simple, and that Landon Dickerson is clearly the center of the future.
Yes.
It was reiterated to me that...
Seumalo's not bad.
No.
He's serviceable, in my opinion.
I feel like every team has a Seumalo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll put Dickerson out there in a heartbeat. I don't care whether he knows the spot or not. I almost want to just see that guy out there.
Him and Maialata.
Jordan Maialata? My God.
I love the physicality yesterday of the lines. Once things got rolling, both lines just established themselves and pushed people around.
Yeah, it wasn't even a contest.
And I don't know if you watched the Giants game, if you saw much of the Giants in Denver. I know Jamie did. We heard about it during the reach around. I think the Giants look like they can be pushed around a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think they're a good football team.
They didn't do anything in the... I probably watched two quarters of that game. They didn't do anything during that time that stood out to me a little bit. Nothing.
I have family who are big Giants fans.
Okay.
Because my mom's side is from upstate New York.
And big?
No.
That's a little shocking.
Well, actually, my uncle's not like, he's not sure. Anyway, okay. No one cares. I woke up to a text from him that said, for the very first time yesterday, I had doubts about Jones. He needs to be better.
He does.
So like even Giants fans are coming around to thinking like, maybe this isn't that.
Gentleman said to me on email too, by the way, he goes, you want the Giants to be 0-2, not Washington.
No, I'd rather the better team be 0-2.
He said because their quarterback's already hurt. I'm like, no. Washington's the better team.
Yeah. I agree with the guy.
You do?
Yeah, it's another bad take I'll have.
No,
yeah.
I understand. Really? I hear you, Ian.
He's saying since Washington's quarterback's already hurt,
yeah,
I you kind want of agree the Giants to get another loss.
I see where he's coming from.
Okay.
I don't. Now, on the flip side, did Washington even have a quarterback? Because they were starting Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Serviceable.
He's better,
but Taylor still. Heineke.
Joe Judge should learn the rule book, too, for the rest of the year.
But you know what, though? He's going to run. He's going to make himself run laps today.
Yeah, he's got to do some, they don't call them suicides anymore. What are the sprints?
High school Harry.
Yeah.
There you go.
Learn the rule book,
I owe Chris Miller an apology. He did say the run defense.
There you go, run defense.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Yep. Peyton and good Eli job, have a show tonight, and you may be watching it. Our jury did a great job, by the way, too. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I want you to trust Meineke to get yourself ready for the fall and the winter because your car tends to get neglected. And your tires are something that can betray you at any time. So get a free tire rotation. Make sure you're wearing and tearing properly when you purchase a $29.95 conventional synthetic oil change. Rely on Meineke for all your maintenance, your brake service, anything else that you need. If that check engine light's on and it's on there for a while, there's a reason. You're supposed to get it checked. And right now, brakes may be a problem. You may be squealing every single time that you hit an intersection. How about receiving 50% off brake pads and shoes? That is an incredible savings for you right now. With the best customer service behind it, you can trust your locally owned and operated Meineke. They do car care right. And you know they're independently owned. These are people that are part of your community. They care for you and they'll care for your car. You want a job? They're hiring. Go to Meineke.com/careers. Get more details. Check out your local Meineke center today. John Kincaid was the one who sent you in.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Thanks so much.
Utah, give me two.
On the Jack and Kate Show. We love it when you're with us on this Monday. You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. Twice today. No microphone on it.
Victory Monday gets people all worked up in different ways, John.
You know what else will get you fired up?
It's taking Tums.
How about today? I took Tums this morning. I never take Tums. Nick Sirianni's press conference. Today at 2:30 on the Fanatic. You'll hear it right here. During the Mike Messinelli show. So Nick Sirianni talks to the media today at 2:30. Jamie, you have people scared. Two different emailers scared.
Uh-oh.
What's this about Nick Foles and the Washington football team?
Bob brought it up, but I mean, he's out there for the taking, and Washington's probably going to want a quarterback. So,
well, what's Fitzpatrick's?
It's a hip subluxation, which is a dislocated joint, a hip joint.
At 38.
What's it, 3-4 weeks?
I don't know exactly. It's going to be a couple weeks. There hasn't been any timelines that I've seen out there, but, you know, I was reading some doctor earlier about high school athletes that suffer it. It's basically season ending for youngsters because they want to make sure the hip is back and fully, you know, range of motion, all that stuff. For a 38-year-old veteran quarterback in the NFL, I have no idea, but I'm assuming it's at least 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay, so they need something.
Yeah, so Nick Foles is out there. Look, the Eagles have a pretty good quarterback room. I don't know. You know, they've traded with Washington in the past, but they're going to be making calls. Nick Foles, I would think, is a call they make.
Was Foles even dressed last night? I know I saw
him. I don't think so.
I know I saw his face at one point, but I didn't know if he had a uniform on.
Chicago is dumb. Just go with Justin Fields.
I disagree with you.
Oh, no.
Did you see that offensive line?
It doesn't matter.
Well, that was the explanation they gave, too.
It does matter.
Collingsworth said that.
I think he's
a young quarterback under siege, and Justin
Fields. He'll be fine.
Justin Fields is used to his high school career, his college career. Never feeling pressure, never being touched.
He'll be all right.
I used to think the same way Jamie did, and then I talked to a former player, and I was making fun of Patrick Ramsey. Do you remember the former
Tulane?
Yeah, the Tulane quarterback. And I was making fun of him, saying, you know, because he was a bust. And he's like, no, he could make all the throws. He should have been sitting his first year. He should not have been playing. He was thrust into the starting role right away.
All right, Patrick Ramsey, Justin Fields, bit different pedigrees.
They both were first-round picks.
Yeah, like, different pedigrees.
And Justin Fields came into the University of Georgia. And I can tell you, point blank, he couldn't win the job over Jake Fromm. He couldn't take the job away from Jake Fromm, who was a backup quarterback in Buffalo. Now, that was his beginning of his college career. It takes some time. Let him have time.
He'll be starting by week three.
I'd say, until you get that offensive line fixed.
To me, a couple hits, but gaining the NFL equity where you can start your rebuild sooner rather than later. Andy Dalton stinks.
I love Justin
And they all
Fields.
Know it.
But Justin Fields wouldn't have won that game last night.
He's potentially special. Baptism by fire. He's fine.
Oof. Yeah, Collinsworth obviously got it from Nagy last night, saying that they just don't want him going back there with this offensive line and looking to run all the time.
Yes.
They want to shore up that offensive line a little bit better.
Happy
I don't
feet
know
is
how
on his resume.
Yeah, I mean, they had Jason Peters at left tackle last night who, what was it, 3 series in that he got hurt?
Something like that, 4 maybe.
I don't know who they're going to have at left tackle now. I would love to see him in there, but I understand their thinking and what you're saying,
long-term
John.
Long-term
development. It's tough, yeah.
Yeah.
And, and Justin Fields has a history of happy feet. It's on his resume. So you got a guy.
What better way to fix it than to get in there and have pressure all around you?
That's all he's going to do is he's going to run around and
it'll be
just.
I mean, it worked for David Carr.
Yeah, didn't it? I will tell you, anyone have interest tonight in watching Peyton and Eli?
Yes.
ESPN2 has an alternate broadcast for Monday Night Football, and it's Peyton and Eli, both of them in their living rooms, from what I understand. They're in their individual living rooms with camera setups, and they will have guests that hop in and they're doing like a talk show during Monday Night Football.
Which house is Archie at? Probably Peyton because he's south, right? I think Eli's still in New
Archie's
Jersey.
Still in New Orleans.
So that would lead to Peyton because Eli's
be his own house.
Peyton, he's going to be somewhere. He's a glory hug.
But Peyton is in. Peyton's back in Indy or is he in Denver?
He's got a couple houses.
But he's not in New Orleans.
I think he still has a place there. Eli is rooted in northern Jersey.
So Eli's set up in the house. I don't know where he'll be, but they're going to have guests and everything.
That's going to be cool.
I think it's a great idea. Try something.
Yeah.
Try it.
I could listen to Peyton Manning talk off the cuff.
He's funny.
He's funny. He's good. He's introspective. I really, really like listening to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I'm giving it a shot tonight. Even though I really do, I like the Monday Night Football broadcast better than I like some of the old iterations. Steve Levy, to me, does a really nice job, and it's very understated. Again, he stays the hell out of the way.
Is it still Booger?
No. No,
Booger's gone.
Booger was exiled.
Oh, did they get rid of the cart, too?
Yeah, which is just
shtick.
Again, shtick. They got rid of that.
He gave great analysis.
Did he? I like Booger.
Like, see, what the team did here is they threw the ball.
See, I like Booger much more in a studio. I do enjoy him in the studio or on a talk show. Color analyst of a game, I don't think was the
He was horrible, best place. You can say.
No, I don't think it was the best place for him, I can tell you.
He was bad.
And if you know yesterday, so watched some college football on Saturday and then watch NFL football yesterday. And I watched the performance on the broadcast yesterday of that Eagles game. That was perfect. Kevin Burkhardt, perfect play-by-play. Understated. Never getting in the way.
It's a good team.
And letting his color analyst, in his first big game, do the job, Greg Olsen. And I thought they were incredibly comfortable together. And again, on Saturday, I don't know what the appeal is. It is first drive of the game. Oh, what an amazing catch! It was amazing! In the Ohio State-Oregon game.
I have a soft spot for Gus.
Yeah, I love Gus.
He's screaming the first series. There was
love it. Guy loves ball.
It was 0-0. When every play is a scream, then there's nothing special to it. How do I even know what's going on? I'm trying to pack. So I'm coming out of one room, and I'm going, what is going on? It was a first down catch that went for 4 yards, and he's screaming.
Love it.
And I'm like, what do you love about that?
I think, honestly, and I was having this conversation with somebody recently, it's just different from what you get. Like, nowadays, all of these broadcasters go to Syracuse, and they learn to be Iron Eagle, and it's cookie cutter. It's the same damn thing. They're so professional. They talk like this, first down, that you get anything different, like him or Aqib Talib is another example.
You just get
personality that it's a breath of fresh air because it's not like this.
Talib is
it's
a
terrible.
Color analist.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand
the
your gripe with it.
Like, play job
it's,
is to...
It's not going to be for everybody. Like, I completely get that. I just like the fact that he is different from the cookie cutter play-by-play guy that goes to Syracuse.
Yeah, you're just...
It's horrible.
You Newman people have it out for Syracuse people.
Yeah, I'm always jealous of Syracuse, New York.
I can tell you the weekend I went up on my visit, my dad, 2 months before his death, screaming at me because I got up to Syracuse, got there and said, I could never go to school here. It was the weekend before Halloween and there was snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And I said, there's no way I can go to school. And my father was yelling at me so loud on the phone that I'm holding the phone away and because you had to line up for a payphone to call home.
Sure.
And no people could hear. As he's going, you're not even giving it a chance. Because somebody had told my dad he needs to go to Syracuse.
But, like, who's the best play-by-play man in the city of Philadelphia?
Well, Zumoff was spectacular.
He was.
By the way, they haven't named anybody.
Zumoff was spectacular. T-Mac does a fine job of the
I think T-Mac's good. I think the best one, though, is Fransky.
Okay.
Zumoff or Fransky. But they both would show personality. Now, not to the extent of Gus Johnson, but they show a little bit of personality, and it's... different from what you normally get.
And this Gus Johnson report, John, is brought to you by Family Jewelers and Family and Company Jewelers. Getting engaged, win $2,500 towards a Verragio engagement ring from Family and Company Jewelers. Visit the contest page on 975thefanatic.com or visit them at their booth at FanFest this Saturday.
In Cooney's Corner, Bob just wants one throwback. Just one.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
It's really the only thing, and I love Gus Johnson, by the way. It's really the only thing that I had a complaint with yesterday, John. And it wasn't so much a complaint, but that I negatively looked at. Jalen Hurts had Zach Ertz on a beautifully designed play wide the hell open.
Would have been a touchdown.
What would have been a touchdown. Now, my concern comes from the ghosts of football past and recent past, where long throws just have not been completed in this town. I'm not saying this is part of Jalen Hurts' makeup at all. And maybe it was just a misthrow on his part, whatever it is. But man, I hope to God it isn't. I hope to God this doesn't become one of his weak spots, that he's just not good at throwing the long ball. Because from what I saw of Nick Sirianni yesterday in a brief part of what this is going to be a long season, he can design plays. And the fact that he had a double tight end and one of the tight ends went deep and was wide open. Now, talking wide open behind him also. If Ertz would have caught it, nobody came near him because, you know, he's not going to break a tackle. If nobody comes near him, that's a touchdown. And it was just really poorly underthrown. And it shouldn't have been a catch in the first place. But that's something I want to keep an eye on. And it's something that I would address. If I'm Nick Sirianni, I would address it in the next game early. I would design a long pass, and if it's open, to see how my quarterback reacts.
Was that the longest pass attempt of the day?
I think it was definitely for Hurts, right?
And by the way, that's Sirianni's game plan. If you're talking about, you know, wow, I'm shocked they didn't throw the ball downfield enough. I'm not expecting them to be that offense. I'm thinking 3-4 shots a game, maybe.
Yeah. It's not going to be a vertical offense.
I'm okay with that.
I'll have to go back and watch that play. I do want to rewatch a couple things from today from the game. I think he was kind of rolling out to the right, and there might have been some slight pressure his way. I don't think he got his legs into the throw. I think he was so wide open, he kind of got caught by surprise at how open he was. So hopefully it's not something to be concerned with. But, I mean, that could have been a touchdown.
It was the longest catch of the day. It was 28-yarder. Rager had the 23-yarder for the touchdown, but that was a screen. And Sanders had a 25-yarder, and I believe that was the screen where Jason Kelce is still out there blocking
killing people.
So it was, there was some murder going on.
And by the way, Kelce leaving the field in the stadium yesterday, a Birds fan handed him a Bud Light as he was leaving the stadium.
Oh, is that right?
And he grabbed it and cheers it with the fan and drank it right there. He's the best.
He's so excited, too. He goes, can I keep this? Like, he's a professional athlete who's millionaire, and can I keep this Bud Light?
And Nick Sirianni, which was pretty good too, is giving away his visor.
Yeah, it's cool.
The kid calling him over and saying, you know, hey, you know, and he gives him his visor.
That's cool.
I like that.
I remember Doug Peterson was asked for a visor after a game, and he just flat out said no and no.
No,
he wasn't
and
giving
no.
It up.
That's terrible. There you go.
But that's something I really want to look out for. I would love to see Nick Sirianni dial up a bomb, a long throw for Jalen Hurts. And I don't want to do it, you know, like casually or just because you have to. But I want him to try to dial up something to get a good long throw out of Jalen Hurts, hopefully successfully, to get his confidence back up on that play.
Hey, let's see what Ron in South Philly has to say on the Fanatic. Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Ron from South Philly. I years ago came in third place in the KY Jelly football catch contest.
Nice job, Ron.
That was such a good time. But I wanted to call, first off, I love your show. I'm following on YouTube. I've been a longtime fan. But this Eagles game was easy to enjoy because there is no expectations on the team whatsoever. And it makes it so much easier to just sit back and enjoy the game.
Isn't it true, Ron? I said it yesterday to my wife before the game. She was saying, are you really, really nervous today? I said, no, because there's no expectations on the season. I just didn't want to take crap from Atlanta again.
True. I definitely understand it. And it takes us, also it takes us out of the misery of the Phillies, the Sixers,
yes,
and the unsuring of the Flyers. So I'm going to hold on this for however long, because we don't know how long it's going to last. But I'm enjoying the show. And if y'all got some extra tickets for FanFest, I would love to meet up with you guys.
Ron, you are in. We'll put you on hold. Connor, take care of Ron. And we appreciate him getting in on us this morning. That was awesome.
Sweet. Perfect.
I love that. The excitement for FanFest will build as the week goes on, though. Because that's another thing. I've never gotten to experience FanFest.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking to some of our salespeople on the break, and I said, you guys all pumped up for FanFest? Now, they're working their asses off, obviously, as is coach and everybody getting ready for it. But yeah, you'll see. How it grows and grows.
You can register to win a trip with Anthony and Andrew to Denver.
It's a good thing I don't have a bad back.
To see the Birds play on November the 14th, courtesy of Philly Sports Trips. You got to be 21 to enter FanFest. There will be fantastic. Hooters Bikini Beach will be there, created by Elite Landscaping of Berlin, New Jersey. There's adult laser tag and the Spider Mountain. You're going to get to meet Anthony Gargano and Mike Missanelli and the whole crew. Every one of us will be there. We're going to have a great, great time. Anthony, Christina's flying up from Atlanta this morning, and she said it's the loudest flight she's ever been on. It was the 820 out of Atlanta, and she said
Eagles.
The guys who were there on business trips, who were dressed for business, flying out of Atlanta, she said, are so pissed off because you got all these people in Eagles gear.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it.
Making a ton of noise.
Tricky's bloodies.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
still celebrating.
Now, they surprised you yesterday, though, right?
Oh, big
time. I heard you Friday. You were, I was surprised that. What did you doubt the most, and what do you believe in most that you saw yesterday?
So I doubted the most of the unknown. I didn't see anything, right? So I just go on new head coach, new DC, new starting quarterback, and I didn't see anything. Lack of depth in the roster.
Right? Sure.
And I went, I don't know, I don't see nothing. So which is why I have no expectations. The thing that stood out the most, and oh man, what a day! The thing that stands out the most is Sirianni. I mean, I thought he was brilliant. I thought his play calling, tremendous. His game plan, tremendous. His play design, his concepts. I got to tell you, I mean, look, they'll get the penalties buttoned up, but whatever happens, and I'm still, you know, again, no expectations. I just want to enjoy it. That dude is sharp. Like what I saw yesterday was preparedness. I see a guy that I think is good. I think they hit something with this dude.
Well, I look at how bad the Falcons are too, though. That's the one thing thing I didn't get from. I think Egan, you picked against them. People picking against them.
I picked against them too.
I'm looking at it, I'm going, the Falcons weren't good either. And all I was leaning towards was the only thing I thought they had going for him was Matt Ryan, and they terrorized Matt Ryan yesterday.
Yeah, Jamie's point, Jamie was on this all offseason, that they're up front, they should dominate, and you're right, Jamie. Like
I think Hargrave's going to have a monster year.
He had a great year. You said that. I give you a lot of credit.
He came on at the end of last year.
On Hargrave a lot.
He had some injuries, you know, new system, yeah. Zoom meetings, all that crap last year. Yeah. I thought he finished the season strong.
Yeah. He played great yesterday. Sweat played great. Yeah, like
Sweat's a player, man.
Their D-line was really good. Now, I agree. Listen, Falcons, but still, I mean, like they made adjustments. Say what you want about, you know, Ryan.
They kept Ridley under.
Yeah, especially under after the first two drives. I mean, it was Ridley, the first two drives. And then they completely clamped him down. He missed, you know, he dropped a couple balls. But they basically clamped him down. And, you know, they shut down Pitts, too.
They took it, and I thought they would exploit the linebackers all day long.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No.
They really didn't.
I mean, no, that was one of the reasons why
they did.
See, the biggest reason why I thought they were going to lose yesterday was because of their Eagles' defense. But their defense, I thought, played terrific.
Don't start snuggling up to my boy.
And Gannon, who's your boy?
Gannon. I've definitely got a crush.
He's swooning.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
I'm swooning on that. Yeah,
I thought he did well. I thought he was.
Puppy really dogs, good rainbows, and ice cream from John over there.
Yeah, I'm kind
cover of
more
Tiger
with,
Beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
we go.
I think I'm like that with Sirianni. Like, here's the other thing too. Jalen, he ran the offense, unlike Wentz, who wouldn't run the offense. He ran the offense, man. He played. He did everything he was supposed to do. He understood it. You know, he's a smart dude, and he played flawlessly.
I'm so excited, but San Francisco coming in, you're 3.5 point underdogs in the home opener. That line has already shifted, Jamie, by 3.5 on the Parks Casino.
It's 3.5 still on some, but it opened as 4 as the early look ahead last week. It's already coming down. So I saw one book at it at 3.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's one game as the opener. I get it. I mean, I'm not
sure.
I'm not going Super Bowl. I'm just, again, I have no expectations. I'm just excited because I saw some good things.
Yeah, sure.
That's. You know,
I like it. Anthony, too, because Anthony speaks for pretty much every Eagles fan yesterday. After they got the win, you're like, okay, now I just need Washington and the Giants to lose. I saw you put it out there. It's like, okay, now I just need 2 other losses, and we got them.
Yeah, I know.
We got them.
And they're playing in prime time, so somebody's going to be 0-2.
I know. 0-2.
It's great.
I mean, it's just...
And look, I thought Washington was going to be the team that beat in the division because of both sides of the ball, almost like what we saw the Eagles dominate yesterday.
Dallas.
But yeah, I think it's probably. But now I think, like to your, I heard Jamie say the Eagles. I mean, the Giants suck. They're horrible.
Oh God, they're so bad.
Right? They're bad. Jones is terrible.
He's bad.
Danny Dimes stinks. But to your point, Johnny, I mean, look,
you never know.
You never know.
Let's see how it starts.
And let's just enjoy the thing. Like I think this is a fun year. Man.
Enjoy it.
That's it.
There we go. And enjoy Cuz Radio today.
I'm going to have fun today, dude.
Cuz is going to...
I'm going to have a blast. Like, that was awesome.
Cuz wanted to come to work. He wanted to come to work early this morning.
Dude, I love coming in. I swear to God.
Victory Monday.
Like, I love those Mondays. I enjoy it, man.
Do you have any crabs left over?
My first one.
Oh, it's the best, right? Isn't it a great time with a Bobby?
Do we have crabs left over? Any crabs?
Yes. Oh, the people were amazing. They've been on the dinner... for the AARC.
Great job.
And it was awesome. Friday night, we did the dinner, and it was a great night.
Tell us a little bit about that today on Cuz Radio. We'll be listening from 10 to 2. Don't miss it. And remember, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Window Nation. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Victory Mondays on The Fanatic. These football Mondays are fantastic. We are looking forward to Fan Fest later on this week. We'll build up to the Eagles home opener. And maybe the Phillies will give us something to cheer about. You never know. We'll join you tomorrow at 6. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. This is Pat Egan from The John Kincaid Show. And after being off a week, I should have struggled waking up this morning for work. That alarm at 4:30 is rough. But I didn't. I came into work awake and alert, and it was all thanks to my friends at 5-Hour Energy. I'll show YouTube. So I grabbed the watermelon extra strength today, and I downed it, and it was great because immediately I just felt it. I felt the jolt in energy, and I wasn't coming in lagging and tired. And two of the reasons why I love 5-Hour Energy is because, one, there's truly no crash whatsoever. I drank this over 5 hours ago. I'm still awake. I'm still alert. The other reason is because I'm like sure Willy Wonka created these things. The cherry, it tastes like cherry. The watermelon actually tastes like watermelon, and they don't have snozzberry flavor, but if they did, it would actually taste like snozzberry. It tastes like what it says it does. So head on over to 5hourenergy.com where you can build your very own 12 or 24 pack from over 15 flavors. Some of my personal favorites are the watermelon, as I mentioned, tropical burst. I like the grape, the extra strength cherry, but they have 15 flavors you can choose from. You can mix and match and create your own 12 or 24 pack, and it's delivered right to your home or office, or you can pick one up on your way into work or out of the store, because 5-Hour Energy, they are everywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.